What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 6:01 on the Monday night, following Tyrone Johnson. Always great and to follow Ty. And then have the conversation after the show, before we switch things over here with Tyrone. Always great. Good to be back with you guys. Hope you had a great weekend. We have a lot to talk about, of course, from the Phillies. Off tonight, get back at it tomorrow. The Flyers making a big deal. What's going on there? I'm glad everything with the Sixers kind of calmed down, where we haven't had to talk much about that. But all in all, hope you all had a great weekend, a good weekend overall. Good to be back here with you again. And just a lot of different conversations that have been going on over the last couple of days with the teams here locally and what they've been able to do. First, of course, with the Phillies taking three or four from the Marlins, which was a fantastic job by them. Having a day off today, getting ready to take on the Yankees up in New York, their work that they did. The fact that the Flyers make a huge, huge deal in what they were able to do over the weekend and acquiring a fantastic defenseman and all the people that they had to protect and unprotect with the expansion. But picking up Ellis and moving on from Patrick in that three-team trade, it was something that you look at this offseason now with the Flyers and you feel good about what they might be doing in the offseason to get things back on track, where most people, or a lot of people, coming down on Chuck Fletcher and the front office for not doing enough and fixing the team. And of course, Elaine Vigneault with how the season ended. Now, with them knowing what they needed to do and stepping up in the way that they did and going out there and getting Ellis, and it seems like they may not be done. We'll leave that at that and see how it all plays out. But in general, a good weekend, again, for the Flyers. Eagles, now we're getting ready for training camp to start next weekend. We're all looking forward to that. The NBA draft later on in the month, where that will, again, start to kickstart some things there with the 76ers, specifically the one man that we all know, and seeing some things today. One thing today that, as we talked about, something's going to come up as we get closer and closer, seemingly every day, until we get to the NBA draft and something happens or doesn't happen where it seems like he's staying here. But we'll stay away from that, I think, tonight because that is a fire starter, if you will, and one that we just basically want to stay away from. But we have a lot to talk about overall with everything involved in Philadelphia sports, and I hope we are able to do that with you tonight as we hang with you until 10, running until 10 tonight, and have a good talk. But again, when we have an opportunity to talk Phillies and kind of stay away from them when they're playing because we don't know what's going on, we do kind of like to get involved with them and see where everyone is on them overall. And looking at where things are with the Phillies right now after they do their job, 46-45, and right now in the standings in the National League East, where they are currently behind the New York Mets once again by two. And they were 3.5 coming out of the All-Star break, picking one up here, picking a game and a half up on the Mets right now, where the Phillies are now winners of two straight, 3 or 4 in this series. And then again, the 7-3 in the last 10, where the Mets are 5-5. They've done their job, the Phillies, and you hope that they can continue to do so. You get a walk-off by JT Realmuto, which is fantastic. To see him doing something, because we talk about the Stars all the time. What are the Stars going to do? How are they going to help out and get things where they need to be? You need to uplift. So this one happens against the Marlins in the 10th, where they've struggled so much against the Marlins, as we know, and they come out there and they take 4-2, JT with the walk-off, and it was fantastic in front of the crowd at Citizens Bank Park. But they've put us in a place again where even if you feel a little skeptical, and that's where you are going into the All-Star break, you're saying, yeah, we need to go and add some pieces. We need to make moves instead of being sellers at this time. You may not feel that they're going to win a championship, a World Series, but right now there's a chance that they can win a division. And this is where Dombrowski was brought in for the offseason and recognizing where they are once you get to the trade line and making a decision on what they need to do. So now that they are where they are, 46-45, second in the National League East, it's not about the East being bad. It's about where you are right now and positioning yourself to get into the postseason and see what happens. We all remember what happened in 2007. Sure, they lost to the Colorado Rockies in their first playoffs in quite some time, but they got there. They got the experience, and it was the start of something. And with Dombrowski coming in, taking over, you may not, or we not, may not have been all in on things so far and seeing what he has done and saying, well, this is something that has been done impactfully. Well, now that they are where they are, we will see what he can do. They're playing good baseball. They're in the spot where it looks like this is something that is winnable. And what are they going to do? But you know, we don't know whether it's the Chris Bryant talk, the Cole Hamels workout on Friday, possibly doing something there, picking up bullpen help in the postseason because you might feel that that's and during this trade deadline because you feel like that's more important than adding a fourth or fifth starter right during the deadline. Something must be done now. Something now, when you look at where the Phillies are, there is no reason for this team not to do something and feel good about themselves and figuring things out, whether it's finally figuring out what they want to do with the bullpen. When you talk about the starters, and we all hear it, I heard guys talk about it. I think I heard Anthony say this earlier, or Taz. I can't remember. I was listening all day and just hearing everybody talk about so many different things. But the fact is, starters, you want them to be able to go seven. We hear that, or we see that Aaron Nola, unfortunately, has been unable to do that for much of the season. And it's been something that's been very frustrating, where Zach Wheeler has been phenomenal. And you get Eflin and the great job that he's been doing outside of the last game that he had on Friday with the doubleheader where he didn't play so well. And then the names of Moore and, you know, all these names, Velasquez, where they're trying to figure out what to do with those back-end guys. Well, now looking at this team and, again, seeing where they are and playing so well, that they have to go out there and do something. Will they go out there and strike and hit something big? I don't know. I don't know. I am intrigued by the Chris Bryant thing still, very much so, that is somebody that I would like for them to go out there and get. Will they? Don't know. Will it be something smaller? Have no clue. But that's where we are in trying to figure out exactly what this team is. So as we sit here and we talk about it and they continue to play as well as they are and seeing what Dombrowski does in general, how good of a general manager that he has been in the past. And now we try to sit here and see exactly what this team is. What is it for this team that needs to be done? As we sit here and we figure it out, and nothing is perfect when you're talking about just about a 500 team at 46 and 45. They're not a perfect baseball team. They still need to figure a lot of things out. But what we've seen is, you know that you have star-level players. Wheeler, Harper, Realmuto. McCutchen has been playing very, very well over the extended period of time. As much as I might rail on Rhys Hoskins for a lot of things, we know that he can hit the baseball. At some point, he can do that and do that well enough where it helps out the team in general, where they win a game. And Alec Bohm and all the Gene Segura with the way that he has been hitting. I've even heard the conversations he's hitting so well. Do you want to get rid of him now and try to get something good in return? No. You're trying to win a division. You're trying to win a pennant. You keep the guy and you make a decision as it goes along. But this is why you go out there and you get Dombrowski. And we've talked about the team building over the past couple of weeks and with all five teams here, including the Union, right? But with the four teams, talk about the team building and what they do. This is why you go out there and you add someone like Dombrowski to see if he can go out there and identify exactly what this team needs. It may not be that star that we want, but when we look at things in September, when the season is over and we're getting ready for the Phillies to play in the playoffs, we're looking at it and saying, man, Dombrowski went out there and he added the right pieces to make this team go, right? To make this team go. And that's why you go out there and you add him in the offseason. You make the push where he was about to go out there and make the push for a baseball team in Nashville, and instead you get him to come here to do the work here in Philadelphia, and that's what this is all about. While they may not be running away with the division with 50 plus wins like we see with some of these other teams, they are in a position right now where they are a good baseball team and something needs to happen for this squad. So when you look at things right now, as we ask you, the trade deadline upcoming, what do you want them to focus on most? And completing this team, not completing, wrong word, because they're not going to be complete, to help position this team to continue on the path that they are currently on and then eventually overtake the New York Mets or the Atlanta Braves, whoever is going to be there, are going to be fighting to get this division crown. What do you want them to focus on the most right now as they move forward? Is it the pitching staff, starters, or the bullpen? Is it a position player where you want them to go out there and identify something that is going to help them not only in the field, but in the lineup in general with this baseball team? Because again, they are not perfect. I'm not sitting here acting like they are the, you know, at this time, heck, the San Francisco Giants, right? I'm not sitting there acting like they are the Giants or the Red Sox or the White Sox or the Astros or whoever it is. I'm not acting like that. They are who they are in those cities. We are sitting here looking at this baseball team in this city with an opportunity to overtake the New York Mets in a division. And quite possibly, like we talked about, when is it that the Phillies are going to make their run and they go on for 10 games undefeated, right? 10-0. Yes, I said they've 7-3 in their last 10. But what about they go on a 7-game winning streak and do something like that? It's not out of the realm of possibility that that happens. And it could very well happen when Dombrowski goes out there and he makes a move that helps this team overall and really puts them in a spot where they can make a lot of noise in this division and put everybody else on their heels and say, oh, the Phillies are for real this time around. And it may not mean a World Series this year, but it could just be the stepping stone for something next season. And the season after that, like we saw back in 2007, that had this team at, right, we were sitting there at, with this team from 2008 into the 2010s, watching every single pitch, every single at-bat, saying we cannot go to the bathroom. Man, are we happy with the way that cable is now? Because we can pause it, and if we do have to run to the bathroom or whatever we need to do, you can pause the television and come right back and watch it. So looking at this team right now and where they are, what would you like them to focus on as this team, again, is 7-3 in their last 10. They take 3 or 4 from the Mets, the Marlins, over the weekend, and they look like the fun baseball team again that we wanted to see from the squad. They're doing it again. But can they sustain it? What do they need to go out there in the trade deadline to do and sustain things? How important is this for Dave Dombrowski? Because look, not a lot is going to be made on what he does in the first season, but a lot of what general managers do in season is, again, identify what they need most as they make a push. Whether it's, do we decide to move players? Do we decide to bring players in? And in this particular case, I think we all now realize that at this point, it's time to bring something in to help. Again, whether it's Cole Hamels or something like that, plus whatever else they focus on during the trade deadline to bring in and solidify this team as they try to be a playoff squad under Joe Girardi with the stars that they have and the complimentary players as well. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you back from the weekend as we go until 10 o'clock. Great to be back with you. 610-632-0975. That's what I would like to start talking about. The Phillies, talking about where they are, the trade deadline, the baseball that they are playing, and asking you what's different from what we've seen where they've really struggled, but now they seem like they've figured some things out where even we are not looking at Joe Girardi and saying, this man has no idea what he's doing. He's doing things the right way at this time. Still picking up in a little bit. Like, yo, why did you do that? Why did you take such and such out? Put this one in from the bullpen. But right now we are in a spot where they look at least pretty good, where we can have some baseball, keep us entertained, and maybe not just until training camp starts, but hopefully while training camp is going on and into the start of NFL, the NFL season with the Birds, and so on and so on and so on. And hopefully it's a deep enough run for you. So that's where we'll start tonight. 610-632-0975. We'll get to everything else. Again, the Flyers making a big deal, bringing Ellis in, identifying things with the the defense there, where we know they struggle, and so many other things that we'll talk about. And of course, we're just a weekend away now of the start of training camp in the NFL for the Philadelphia Eagles. We watched so many things in the offseason, so many videos, so many posts of guys lifting weights and running up the field and catching some deep passes from Jalen Hurts and whatever it might be. We're just happy to get things back. And it will be back here sooner rather than later. And it's going to be fun again to start talking some Eagles football with you all as well. Tyler Zuli is here doing double duty in on the Mike Missanelli show with Tyrone Johnson. And Tyler's doing double duty. He'll be with us again until 10 o'clock with his leftovers, as always, at 9:45. And before we start on the phones, Brian is going to tip things off for us and everybody else there after 610-632-0975. Ty, good evening. Hope you had a great weekend. Know you were very busy on the air and some other things. So what do you look at this baseball team as a huge baseball fan and a clear focus on what the Phillies do? What do you now see from them and want them to focus on first and foremost when it gets to this trade deadline here?
Yeah, good evening to you as well. I hope your weekend was pleasant. I know not the game outcome you had hoped for, but still alive. And what I say to you at the beginning of the series.
Should have won that one.
Suns and seven.
You did say Suns and
good.
Seven.
Don't worry about it.
Never did I think we would be down 3-2.
Things are going to be fine, Devon, I promise you.
Thank you so
but
much.
But from this Philly standpoint, right, they've done a good job of calming my nervous fear about them a little bit. I'm not fully invested I'm not fully invested in the fact that they are in fact going to make this deep run, but they are to the point now where at 47 and 45 they are capable of being buyers at the trade deadline. And Matt Breen talked to us today and he said, you know, they might make an impact move to try to keep up with the Mets and Atlanta, who are making moves as well. And I said to Tyrone, I don't necessarily think that an impact move has to mean that it's like earth shattering, right? It's not has to be the blockbuster trade. But impact would be to, and it's why I believe it's the most pressing issue of them all, would be to shore up the back end of the bullpen. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a closer, but if you can get me two guys that can give you the seventh and the eighth inning, I'm going to feel a lot better than I do today. So relief pitching is, to me, still the biggest issue.
Still the biggest
24 issue. Blown saves is unacceptable.
Yeah, it is. And as you talked about, and we've all talked about since last season, we thought that a minimal improvement would have been good enough. But then again, when you're in the moment, Ty, like we always say, how did it happen? Too many times we've seen how it happened, and it's been very frustrating as to how it has happened to put themselves where they are, where the record should be much better. And of course, as you said, the relief pitching, it just simply hasn't been good enough. You still need to address that. So I'll go with you on that. But just to kind of stay away from it a bit, I'll just say adding that one more arm in the starting rotation will help out as well, because if you do have that and they do their jobs, and we're talking about your four guys out of the five on that fourth day going deep enough into his game that you don't have to get into that bullpen as much, that maybe that again will help out. And I know we've seen it even with the second guy on his fifth day, but it's the second guy in Aaron Nola, where he hasn't been great all the time, where you've had to go deep into, you had to go deep into your bullpen because he hasn't been able to go deep into his start, and it's been very frustrating. But again, if you are able to possibly have that fourth arm where he's consistently out there doing a good enough job as a four, that you don't have to go into your bullpen enough, maybe that will help out a little bit. But they do go hand in hand. So that's where we want to start off with you tonight and ask you the very same question and vote at 97.5 The Fanatic here on Twitter. Your thoughts about that. And again, as Tyler put it, which of these positions on Twitter do the Phillies most need to address at the trade deadline? He'll say that again and introduce it a little bit more in the second segment here. But that's where we'll start tonight. 610-632-0975. We want to give Brian all of his time. So, Brian, hang on. We want to tip things off with you, start off, and get deep into this a little bit with the conversation overall about the Phillies and what they need to most address at the trade deadline with things. And what has been standing out for you? What has made them different? What has made them different that even when you feel like, oh, I'm still not going to buy in, it's not that big of a deal right now? Well, it kind of is. They're still there. They can backslide, but they can also slide forward and continue to make a push because the Mets are allowing it, and they are allowing themselves to continue to be in the conversation. And by the way, we are able to give away four pairs of Fanatic Fan Fest tickets. So if you want to join us Saturday, September 18th at Xfinity Live, you know what you have to do. Just call in, give us a great call. We'll put you in the mix. Best caller will nominate you, or we'll qualify you, and then we'll give them away per hour how we typically do it. So 1 6 o'clock hour, 1 7 o'clock hour, 1 8, 1 9, and we'll line it all up that way for you. So we start off the Phillies, the trade deadline, and what has made them different? What has kept you? Why have they not been able to, as you wanted to step away, what has been different where they have kept you in the mix and you can't step away and you're like, I wanted to go to the shore, but I can't because they keep pulling me back in. This baseball team, they keep doing it, they keep doing it, they keep doing it, and they just keep pulling me back in. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10. Tyler Zuli producing, doing double duty with us here tonight. Talking to you. Phillies baseball to start right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock. Good to be back here with you. 610-632-0975. The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 17 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. And, of course, the Phillies and everybody else, obviously, is trying to make sure they get that jewelry at the very end of whatever season it is. Right now, for the Phillies, they're in play. And in order for them to get that jewelry that they covet, like many, like all teams do, they have to most likely make some moves. Dombrowski does with the front office to fix a few things. So as we get started here, we're asking you, what do you want them to focus on the most? And what has kept you involved? There's so many people that were saying with this being a 500 team. And look, they're still a 500 team. They're still a 500 team. But with that being said, they're two games back of the Mets. They're still in the mix, and they keep your attention. A lot of times it'll be like this, and you're like, I'm out. But what has kept you involved with this baseball team right now, and what do you want them to focus on and try to improve it? 610-632-0975. Tyler, before we get to Brian, what's the Twitter poll? I teased it and actually gave the question, but you always do that. So go ahead.
Yeah, the question today is, which of these positions do the Phillies most need to address at the trade deadline? You got three options: center field, starting pitching, or relief pitching. And early returns, you do have almost three full hours to vote on this thing so far. Two-thirds of the voters say relief pitching, 21% say starter, 13% say center field.
Okay. All right. Well, again, you can vote all the way up until right around 9:45, and then Tyler will have the leftovers at 9:45, and we'll let you know about that. And we have, again, an opportunity to give out four pairs of tickets today to 97.5 The Fanatics Fans Fest. So the best caller each hour will give away a pair for you. 610-632-0975. We'll get to the tweets and stuff as well. But let's start off in Woodbury, as promised, with Brian tipping us off here on this Monday night. Brian, how you doing?
Hey, Devon, what's up? How you doing?
What's going on, man? The Phillies keeping everybody involved.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you. They're keeping my attention right now. It's just my problem with them is it's hard for me to hang your hat on something, really, because you don't really know. I mean, Nola's up and down. You know, like I want him to come out and give us seven strong innings, like show that he's the ace that I thought he was. I mean, obviously Wheeler, I think, is our ace right now. But my problem is there's really nothing you can hang your hat on. I mean, you talked about Bo Mueller, he's hitting better, but now he's out, so you don't know how he's going to be coming back from COVID. Hoskins is always up and down. He's a streaky hitter. Harper, I mean, I love Harper, but he's not being the power, the source that I thought he was going to be for us right now. So my problem is it's hard to hang your hat on somebody, really. Wheeler's our most dominant player right now. Definitely our most consistent player, at least at the time.
No, he definitely is, especially when you look at the, first of all, you look at the pitching staff and you say Nola, they're right there, bang, 1-2 or 1-1A. And the one that you can really count on is Zach Wheeler. Yeah, you're comfortable with him. And then everybody else, you just have your questions even with Nola. But, no, I hear you, man. And that's why we're even talking about this is going out there. They keep you involved. They keep your attention. They have you. Maybe not all the way in, but is there something that they could potentially do, right, Brian, with this deadline that could, in fact, pull you in? And especially with the second half of the season, obviously overtaking the Mets would be great.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see him go and try to get Kimbrel. I mean, I think he would definitely show up the back end. I mean, you could move. I mean, he'd be your closer, and then you can move Suarez as your setup man. I mean, I think Ranger Suarez is definitely huge. He's been a breakout player this year. I think he's really good. I mean, so that puts him in a good spot. And then I think getting the outfielder from the Cubs. I think I don't know how they would be able to get him, but I think the fact that he can play versatile positions, center field, third base, first base, I think he'd be a huge upgrade.
Well, and that's what everybody has been talking about, right, Brian? Talking about, can he come in and their relationship with Harper and those guys being as close as they are, maybe that.
You think they would pay, you think they would go over the luxury tax? Because in order to get Brian, they'd have to go over the luxury tax, right?
Well, and that's where we've been talking about with the ownership group in general, overall, right? Are they able to do it? And the question has typically been no, even though years ago, I remember them saying, yeah, they'll go over the luxury tax, and then when it comes down to it, you start hearing these press conferences, and they're like, "Nah, we don't really want to go over the luxury tax." So, I guess we don't know.
4 years,
right?
I mean, if you sign Brian for 4 years, you got him as your center fielder for the next 4 years. I mean, that's 30 home runs, 100 RBIs, and the guy runs the bases like a leadoff batter. I mean, I think that'd be great. I mean, they'd have to pay for it, but. They have the money.
Sometimes you have to pay, especially when you don't have a farm system the way you need it, and you can't call up the young guys to help you out and just do that type of stuff. Brian,
Go ahead, real fast. Do you think Al Boone's going to actually be a player? Because I would actually look to shop him. I mean, you don't really know. I don't think he's going to be that 25-30 home run hitter that you need at third base, like a power guy.
No, and right now he can't even feel well enough for you to feel comfortable keeping him on the field. Yeah. Brian, hang on, man. We're going to qualify you. That was a great call to start things off for us here tonight. As far as Alec Bohm goes, and will he be that type of player? I unclear because he is young. So nothing is perfect when they are young players, and you do want to give them an opportunity. You want to give them a chance, especially when, again, you look at what they haven't been able to do in grooming players. First of all, selecting the players the right way, and then grooming them to helping them out with their development overall and becoming these star level players that we're seeing so much around the league. He was runner up last year, right, with the Rookie of the Year. So you look at that and you say, all right, there's something there with Alec Bohm. And we know it. We've already seen that there's something there. Clearly there's something there with him. We don't want to get into a situation where it's now like we did with Rhys Hoskins, where the question was, and I remember doing this. I was filling in for Anthony on the Midday Show and Andrew Salchunas and my question was, which Rhys Hoskins are you going to get? Which one is it? 2017 one or the one after that where he didn't look so great? Which one are we going to get? And I don't want to have to ask that question for Alec Bohm either. He looked really good. We all felt very comfortable with him coming in. This young star up and coming, he is not going to be an issue. He's not one of these players that we're going to have to work about. A little bit of a sophomore slump where he hits a wall, but not a problem overall. He's been a problem where he can't field. It's been an issue that they're going to have to address at some point. But is it now? Right? Is it now? Do we have to address it now? Sure, you want Chris Bryant to come in and he can be so versatile and all. But do you want to give up on Alec Bohm? But if the return is right for Alec Bohm, then so be it. My man, appreciate it. Thank you. It's been fun. But we got to move on.
Well, and the one thing with Chris Bryant is I think you have to guarantee me that there's going to be a contract extension.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going
to
give up.
So to the point of the 4 years that was just mentioned.
Right, because and the thing is, I always talk about the proven and the prospect, right? And Bohm is not a prospect anymore. He can be he is, in fact, an everyday Major League player. I don't think I give up on a second-year guy if it is for a rental. I would give up on a second-year guy if it meant that it was a three, four-year extension for Chris Bryant, because I think that does make your team better right now, and probably next year too, and then you see Boehm probably ascend, and that role kind of flips.
Yep. 610-632-0975. Hanging out with you until 10 o'clock. Let's go next to Sean in Levittown, talking to the little Phillies as we start off this program. What's up, Sean?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's going on, man?
Not much. I do want to say that I think for the Phillies, I think they do have to improve their bullpen. I think that's the number one option for me. Because we've seen time and time again this year and last year where they would have a couple, like two or three run lead, and it would just evaporate. I think they have, 23 blown saves this year or something like that.
Right.
So I definitely think going out and trying to get somebody in the bullpen, like a Craig Kimbrell, I would love to have him on the Phillies, although I don't think we would be able to get him because I don't think we have enough talent to get him in the minor league system or overall. But I would also look at a guy maybe like Taylor Rogers from the Twins. I think he's been proven that he can save games for, a team that's kind of contending, but not so this year, but more so last year. I think he had a couple, 30 saves or something like that. I think that would be another guy that we can maybe go after. And maybe for a pitcher, I think you got to look at Kyle Gibson. Gibson's been proven that he's had a really good year this year for a mediocre Texas Rangers team. He's a number one pitcher, which is, in my opinion, kind of sad. I think he's more of a three of a four. But that's just my opinion. But I think definitely trying to improve that back end of the bullpen where I don't think Neris obviously is the closer. I think you can move him to a seventh or eighth inning role where you could take the pressure off of him. I think that'll help out a lot.
And of course, Kyle Gibson, 6-1 on the season, 17 starts and 2.29 ERA. For the Texas Rangers right now. And look, man, I mean, who knows what Texas is going to do if they're even going to go that route. But like you, I too believe, and look, I don't think there's any wrong answer because as we said, this Phillies team isn't complete. So there are things all over the roster, all over that they need to improve on. So if it happens to be a bullpen arm or a starter, or even again, someone for the lineup, then so be it. There's no wrong answer. And like you, I also agree that a starter could help them out as far as a four-man in this rotation. But Kimbrell, as we've mentioned, someone else in the field, there's no wrong answer because they're there. But how much of the attention, and look, Sean, we're talking about it clearly, so they have your attention, but how much are you invested in this team now where maybe you weren't a little bit early on in the season because didn't think like they were going to be in the mix for a crown here in the division and a playoff spot? But they've kind of turned things around again. Last 10 games, 7-3.
Yeah, I mean
7-10. Sorry,
I'm always going to be a diehard Phillies fan, no matter what. That's just me. I want to see them try to bring up the young guys that they have. But it is right now. They are it's like hit or miss with the Phillies. They make you happy, and then the next game they'll come out and just be like the total opposite of what they just did. They'll score seven runs. They'll win 7-4, and then they'll come out and lose 2-1 or something like that. Right, where the offense. So, I don't know, but I do think that if they are able to acquire somebody like a Kimbrell, maybe even a Chris Bryant, like Tyler mentioned, we would have to guarantee that he's signing a 3 or 4 year contract before we would get him. I think that would definitely help out a lot for the fan base. And they're wondering why they're not selling out a lot of tickets because they're not doing what we want them to do, which is, go on a big winning streak and be able to take over.
Yep, that's what I talked about, Maybe you sneak in one of those 7-game winning streaks, and exactly. The next thing you know, you're 2 games up.
Yep, if they were to, even half the saves that they've blown this year, if they were able to come back and at least win more of those games, I think they would be fine right now. They would be in first place, in my opinion. The Mets are the Mets. I have to admit, the Mets are a better team this year, obviously, because of the way they're playing. But I think they have to go out and go get Kimbrell or maybe a Rogers or maybe even the guy from the Pirates, Richard Rodriguez, I think his name is. Low-level guy where you might not have to give up a whole lot to get him. But, again, that's that's just a fan talking. So who knows what
no,
they're
going to
do.
But then that's to your point of they're not listening to you.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to trust Dombrowski. Listen, Sean, thanks, man. Hang on. I will qualify you for those pair of passes if you have not received any yet for Fanatic Fan Fest on September 18th. That's a Saturday at Xfinity Live. And no, look, and mentioning the fact that they're not listening or doing what we want them to do as far as filling out this thing and making this push, they don't have to. But I know what you mean, Sean. I understand exactly where you're coming from with this baseball team. And you feel like as a fan, you know this team and you're identifying what part of the problem is, and part of the problem is the bullpen. And the third baseman, we're talking about Alec Bohm, or even the starting rotation, where you're talking about Kyle Gibson on a Texas Rangers team right now that is currently in the bottom of the AL West at 35-58, and they just simply aren't a very good baseball team. So maybe they are trying to, you know, move on from some of their players and get some young people in there, continue to get some young people in there and get that team right. Their problem. But again, that's just where the Phillies are. When you are, as we've said, a 500 team and currently 47-45, two games back of the New York Mets, there are things that you still need to fix and improve on. Could it be where Joe Girardi just, it clicked. Everything is there. Got it. Figured it out. Maybe. Maybe. You don't think it would take, it would need to take 92 games to do so, but maybe. But more likely than not that they need to go out there and add something. And that's where I think most people are. No longer. Well, from time to time, you still do hear the folks that say, no, they still need to sell. Like I mentioned, the Gene Segura stuff. Sell. Get rid of him now. He's hot. You can get something in return. Talking about even Aaron Nola. You can get something for him. Move him. Not right now. How did it happen? Things have changed. So you can't do it. Frank on Twitter says, imagine they pick up a reliable bat in center field. The offense would be seriously dangerous if they did so.
I don't want to necessarily say that he's the answer, because I don't think that he is entirely, but I think that Travis Jankowski's done a serviceable job in center field to help the team
serviceable.
Produce. Yeah.
But don't you feel a little more comfortable if it was someone that you can rely on?
Sure.
Daily?
You're going to try to get like a Byron Buxton? Absolutely. Of course I would.
How likely is that?
I don't think it is, although apparently...
I saw that. You know, I was peeking. I didn't see a lot, but I was peeking. I said, whoa. Then I saw the Phillies in the mix. Oh, hang
right.
on.
But according to, you know, I think it was from the New York Post, according to reports, the Twins are basically telling him, like, hey, listen, you sign this contract extension at our price, or we trade you. And I think the number is right around $70 million right now. I don't know if he stays, because I think he is worth more than what they're offering. So I would not be shocked if they trade him, but I guess we'll have to see in the next 10 days or so.
Well, they are 39-53, right? And they're not all that great. And he is a, right, really good center fielder.
Yeah.
And you can probably, do something with that. Yeah, probably do something with that. No question. The extension, we talked about the money with Bryant. Who would you feel more comfortable with as far as their extensions go with these two players? You're not going to get both.
Who would I feel more comfortable with? Probably Bryant, because I know that, he can play me multiple positions, and B, I think he is a more consistent hitter than Buxton.
Do you want
both
to play
have injury
both
concerns?
Multiple positions, though?
No, not entirely.
Right. He can do it.
No, I mean,
do you want that to be part of your case here?
I mean, preferably I'd rather him be an everyday third baseman.
Right. But you have Bohm and you want to,
yeah.
If he's still here, you want him to play.
I think that I would probably lean Bryant for the consistency, but both have injury concerns.
On the season, right now, when we look at Buxton, on the season, he is, let me just take a peek. He is batting 369. He's only played in, how many games has he played in? He's played in 27 games this season because of the injury stuff.
Yeah, he's been injured for a lot. For a lot of the year.
So batting 369, 10 home runs, 19 RBI, 11 doubles, 38 hits, 21 runs, and 103 at bats. On base percentage 409, slugging 767, and EOPS 1.176.
Well, and I will say this too. You know, we talk about Brian and we talk about Buxton. If they're going to make a move and you want to address that center field position above everything else, I know that he's not a natural center fielder, but I believe that he could, in fact, be there perfectly fine. My move would be Starling Marte.
Yeah, and real fast to your point of Jankowski, Ray Gassett on Twitter says, as much as I wanted to destroy him after his first game, Jankowski has been more than okay in center field. Just like you said, more than serviceable in center field. And, you know, that's where you want to go. But you want to get something that's more reliable for you in that position. Bobby DeVito on Twitter agrees with me, says, look, they only have two real starters. Reliable starters can prevent them from having to go so deep into the bullpen so early so often. What gives a one bullpen arm when every starter 3 through 5 can't get out of the fifth inning? Agree. Well, Eflin we have a little more faith in, but exactly. See if you can get another starting pitcher, and that will work out very well. The legend 041979. The relief pitching is our number one issue with the starting rotation, a very close second. Tyler pointed that out with the relief pitching. As much as I've been hearing people say that this ownership will go over the luxury tax, I just don't see it happening. And that's we just addressed that as well. So the luxury tax part is a big key here. Do they want to do it now? Do they want to do it later if they decide to make a move in the offseason? But see, a lot of that I think will be dependent on if they make the postseason. Any ownership says, all right, okay, we got to do it. Dombrowski's able to sell it, and they don't have much of a choice. Again, Frank talked about the center fielder. So, look, we can go all over the place. Elbow Shaferi, Brian, Byron Buxton and the Phillies. What could possibly go wrong? Well, there you go. That's right. You get the injured guy, and the injured guy stays injured. Especially when he gets here to Philadelphia. 610-632-0975. A little more on a few things around some possible building as we talk about. We've been talking about this one thing for a while. Why has it not happened in Philadelphia? Four sports teams here, with the fifth being the Union, pushing up on those guys. And we always ask this question, why is this not happening here in Philadelphia? We'll address that a little bit too. 610-632-0975. We'll share that with you as we go along, talking to little Phillies to start things off. And we'll introduce something each hour as well, because we are giving away Fan Fest tickets. We've qualified 2 people so far. We'll get back to the phone calls when we come back. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens, Tyler Zulli's producing. We're running with you until 10 on this Monday night right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Seven o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you, starting off with some Phillies conversation tonight. I wanted to ask this as we get into the 7 o'clock hour, because it was something that I had just recently saw a couple of hours ago, and I wanted to bring this up. It was two things of basketball related, not with the Sixers. It was just something that was basketball related. And no, I'm not going to ignore the finals. I know what happened. We lost 3 in a row. I get it. I'm going to do my job and talk about it like I always do. I will be talking about it a little bit if we were up 3-2. But now we're down 3-2. I'll get to that in a second. So I was looking on Front Office Sports a little bit earlier, a couple of hours ago, and this popped up. And it's been something that we've talked about for years, right? we've been talking about how much we love the 76ers in this town. You grow up and all this great stuff. And it is the 25th anniversary of the WNBA, right? And how many times do we say, why aren't there any, why haven't there ever been any talks that we've heard of that the Philadelphia would be represented with the WNBA team? Where is that? Why haven't we heard this? And we never really get a good explanation, right? Well, WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert, she reiterated last week that expanding the league is a priority. A couple of cities identified as potential expansion spots: Charlotte, Houston, Toronto, and Philadelphia. I would say all of those would be worthy of a team, but obviously I'm biased in saying I would want it to be here. Why not? Why not? I would really want it to be here. That would be cool. I think the fans would support it. Obviously, we don't know who would run it, who would coach it, and what players would be here, but it's Philadelphia. So I think it would succeed and it would be supported here locally in Philadelphia if they were able to have a team here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, everything leading up to it, especially with, you know, with the NHL having their expansion draft this week and then the draft to follow, I think they would get behind it in terms of like the expansion. Expansion drafts are always fun, right? You see who your team's going to pick from existing teams and things like that. And then you get a top three pick in the draft, and you get a top three, you're going to get a top three player in coming out of college and things like that. It would be exciting. It would be fun to have a team here. And you're right. I think a lot of the fan base would, in fact, get behind them. Them as the, you know, the newest franchise in Philadelphia.
You if you're able to get someone like Sabrina Ionescu, who's with the Liberty right now, coming out of Oregon, Asia Wilson coming out of South Carolina in Las Vegas doing what she does, or any of these great players, these women basketball players that come out of college and are fantastic, all you need is one to really put it over the top. And then the team building, as we talk about, who's in charge and who's putting the squads together. And they've been having issues where you have teams leaving one spot to go to another, or you know what I'm saying? And that's been a problem, but it's been around. Six teams have you know, the league started in 97. Double by 2000. It has since dropped back down to 12 when you look at what they've done over the course of the 20, 25 years, right? Started with 8. Got to 16, back down to 12. The six teams had to fold it. Here's the thing, Ty. Charlotte, Cleveland, Houston, Miami, Portland, and Sacramento have folded. I'm eliminating Charlotte and Houston right there.
Shouldn't
just because
get another team.
You don't get another shot.
Chance.
Not right. Not over other spots like Philadelphia, right?
Right.
If it was Boston, who doesn't have one? But Connecticut, technically, they have. But I'm just saying using Boston because it's a bigger market. If you go Boston, then I'm going with Boston or Philadelphia over Charlotte and Cleveland and Houston and giving them another opportunity. That's just what I'm doing. There are enough players to fill things out.
Well, and the thing is, too, you mentioned those teams that have not succeeded, right? But Vegas is a relatively new team. They've succeeded.
Yep.
So it's not to say that.
And they got A.J. Wilson.
Right. And then you get a tremendous player here. By the way, if you start this process rolling now, you're probably going to take it 2 years to get into the league. I don't know if you realize this or not, but you know who's going to be the number one pick in 2 years? Likely, assuming she continues to play well. Paige Becker?
You know I'm in.
Could you imagine you find a way to get the number one overall pick in your expansion franchise and that's your first pick?
Could you imagine how many games me and my daughters would be at?
Absolutely.
If Paige was here?
I can't imagine she leaves the college coaching ranks, but you know you got to throw the blank check at Dawn Staley to be the team's first coach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she'd want to come back and coach in Philadelphia, but you got to try.
You have to try. You definitely have to try.
And that's
what happened. I don't know, because she has such a good thing going there in South Carolina at the University of South Carolina.
Of course.
But yeah.
But that's a hey, listen, things may be rough to begin. You've got like a, this is a 10-year contract, right? You're not going to get fired after two seasons if things aren't going well. Like I said, you write the empty, you write the blank check and you see what happens.
610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock. You know, the commissioner, Kathy Engelbert, expanding the league as a possibility. Charlotte, Houston, Toronto, Philadelphia, identified as potential expansion cities. Would you support? I mean, that's just a simple question. I just, you know, I saw this. You know, I love basketball. Loving basketball. I watch college, women's college basketball. I watch the WNBA. High school, sometimes I'll peek at that, right? I would be all in for this. Would you support it is what I'm asking you. Simple. Would you support a WNBA franchise here in Philadelphia to go along with the Phillies talk that we've been discussing here to start off the show? 610-632-0975. Why not? Why not? Here's the other thing that I saw on Front Office Sports a little bit earlier, and then we'll get back to the phones. It said on the Twitter account, a $4 billion Las Vegas resort and arena will break ground in October. 23,000-seat arena, retractable roof, two hotels, 3,000-seat theater, 400,000-square-feet retail plaza. This is by former UNLV hoop star Jackie Robinson. It'll be the first minority-owned project on the Strip in Las Vegas. $4 billion Las Vegas resort and arena. Breaking ground in October. Now, how long have we heard about a team, an NBA team, going to Las Vegas? So we're talking about, again, we just got finished talking about the A's potentially leaving Oakland because of them trying to get a new ballpark out there in Oakland. The Raiders have already left, right? You got a hockey team there. The WNBA basketball team, the Aces, are really good. They have a star player in Asia Wilson that we're talking about, that we've spoken about here. If they do this, and if you see the images here for what it could look like, first of all, they have a retractable roof in a 23,000-seat arena. That's crazy in itself. So you figure games are going to start out west probably around 7 o'clock, right? West Coast time. Las Vegas is still hot. They got to figure that part out. But the images, they do look dope. It is pretty cool.
So
they've played outdoor games before.
Right. So I'm reading the comments, right? Because they're never a bad place
it's
to be.
It's always a treat.
So somebody goes, oh, great, just what basketball needs to deal with sun and shade. And somebody responds, ever heard of nighttime?
Oh, man. Elbow Shafari says, bring the A's back to Philly. Las Vegas can have the Phillies.
I'll take the A's if they're willing to spend money.
If they're able to spend money.
Yeah, well, and here's
no money ball?
I don't know. Well, and not even that. I have a lot of disdain for the A's organization. The way they treat their minor league players is abysmal. I don't. If they'll be willing to spend money, I'll take that roster. But that organization is horrendous.
I think we would have to go out there to a Sixer game whenever they played the Las Vegas Cards.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah, the Cards. Let's just go with that to start off right now. The Las Vegas Cards.
We'll work on the name.
Well, what's your favorite basketball movie?
My favorite basketball movie. I mean, I always go with semi-pro.
That's where I was going.
Okay, I always go with semi-pro.
Name them the Tropicals if you
there
want.
You go,
whatever you want.
There you go.
Whatever you want. We're going out there to see the Sixers play the Tropicals in Vegas. 6-1-0 on the West Coast trip. This is the 13th. 13 days on the road, 5 games, one of the stops in Vegas.
Vegas, Denver.
Trouble. Utah.
Yeah. Couple L.A. games.
Portland. The L.A., Phoenix.
Okay, save that for later.
L.A., Phoenix, Golden State is on the same trip. That's 4 games right there. You need one more.
So you start in Portland.
So you go, well, who's leaving? Is it Sacramento? Are they leaving? Who's leaving? No.
Or is it an expansion
team? It's the Pelicans. The Pelicans might be leaving to go out there. I don't know. The Las Vegas Pelicans.
Yeah, that doesn't sound terrible.
Can't say the Heat because it's Miami. So, I don't know.
The deserts? I don't know what to say.
I don't know. We're going out there to see Philadelphia play Vegas in NBA basketball. We're out there.
2024.
We're out there. Groundbreaking in October. Would you support a WNBA team, though, in Philadelphia? I would. You know I would. I'd be there. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones, talking to Lil Phils. Asked that question about the WNBA because I saw that. I thought it was pretty cool that they finally acknowledged that they should be an expansion team here in Philadelphia. I think it would be very well supported there. Let's go. You know what? Nate is up here next. Let's get Nate up here to comment on this. What's up, Nate?
What's going on, bro?
What's going on?
He stole all my thunder. Everything, Paige Becker. He took Dawn Staley from me. But I just told him, that'll give me something to do with my granddaughter, man.
Yeah.
For sure. I'll probably grab a couple of season tickets, you know what I mean? Just to have an experience with her, you know what I mean?
Why not? Get some low level seats, possibly floor seats, do your thing, you know, let her experience that and
maybe she'll be in there one day.
Yeah, absolutely, right?
So that would probably be my goal. I'm not saying that's gonna be her goal, but that'll be my goal to try to influence her to do something sports wise.
And that would be decent, in my opinion.
Absolutely. But listen, man, I hope the Phillies can take over this whole situation. If you get Chris Bryant, you get Chris Bryant. I mean, I'll take it. But if you can get Kimball and Chris Bryant, oh, man,
I always look at stuff like that, and I'm saying, see, now we're asking too much. We're being greedy, which is fine. But, you know, would they do it is the question.
That's the question. That's where it is. Will Middleton come out of his pocket and spend that money to get those dudes and try to get the Phillies into a playoff? Because if you get us in the playoffs, that's more money for you, bro, because that's the hype now. Everybody's want to come to the game now. You know what I'm saying? So it'll be interesting to see if that happens. I'll try to figure it out.
But now, clearly, real fast, clearly you're paying attention to what's going on there. So,
oh, for sure.
What's keeping you involved? Why are you still so involved with the Phillies? Because oftentimes we do kind of step away when they're not very good. They're not very good, but they're into it. They're in it where they're only 2 games back of the Mets right now. What's keeping you into the Phillies right now? Is it because they're the only team?
No, I'm not even going to say they're the only team. I like the players for Gorfs right now, man. Gene's playing well, man. So he had caught my attention last week, keeping me abreast of what was going on. And then when the bats get hot and you just keep turning them and turning them the way they've been doing for the last couple of weeks, I know I just stuck on board. I don't know why, but yeah, I'm still here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So what were you about to say before I cut you off?
All right, so look, this is what it is. I don't know about Vegas getting it. NBA team, bro, because you had me out there broker than a mug playing out there, you know what I'm saying? Wait, DG, we going? Oh, man, I'm right, I'm going. The next thing you know, I'm calling my wife like, yeah, I need a plane ticket back home because I don't fix my poker out there.
It would be crazy, man. It would be wild. And then, of course, you're going to have if it's not moving from another city, then they're going to be expansion. So it would be really interesting to see how they would expand out there and what players would be protected or not protected go out there.
It would be crazy to see who the Sixers won't protect.
Well, give me one. Give me two that they wouldn't protect.
I only really said you got to that, bro. I'm not going to even discuss that right now. I'm trying to get rid of one that's dead.
Oh, man.
You want to give me two.
Give me two, right. Oh, all right, man. Well, listen, did you qualify yet for some tickets?
No.
Hang on. All right, man. You got it. Nate in Southwest. 610-632-0975. Let me see here quickly before we get back to the phone. See, Chose Souders says Las Vegas Aces. Yeah, but we got to, you know, can't have them both with the same name. Got to do something else. Got to do something else. Can't be the Las Vegas Aces on both sides with the WNBA and the NBA. Can't. Got to give me another name. Got to give me another name. But we want one here. They have one. They have one. And a successful one, by the way. Coach B. Fleming. Bruce says, we'll support a WNBA squad in Philadelphia. I agree. I would. Mike and Del Rand said it doesn't make money. Well, again, they've been able to keep some of them around. So they've been able to, as I said, they started off with 8. They expanded to 16. They dropped back down to 12. They want to expand a little bit more and put some teams in there. I understand it doesn't make enough money, but bring it here. Other cities have been able to keep them in that city, Chicago, Los Angeles. New York has had a little bit of trouble where they can't stay in New York at the Garden, and they had to move to Barclays and that type of stuff. But you've been able to keep some teams. You're right. It doesn't make a lot of money, but I don't think that they really expect it to ever make as much money as the NBA or even the other men professional sports leagues in Major League Baseball, NHL, and obviously the NFL. But to do something, I would support it.
I can promise you a team would make money here. Promise that. There would be enough support.
Why do you think that?
Because it's a pretty rabid basketball fan base. It's a fan base that not only supports the Sixers, but also has Villanova, has Temple basketball, you know, smaller portions of like things like Penn and, you know, the other city schools. It is a pretty rabid basketball fan base. I think they would take the fan base wants as much basketball as it can consume as possible. I believe that it would make, you know, a decent amount of money if there were a team here.
Okay. 610-632-0975. I like it. I mean, I like it. I do. I'm in. Devon Gibbons with you until 10 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We go to Jalen in Swedesboro. Also wants to jump in on the expansion team. What's up, Jalen?
Hey, what's up?
What's going on?
Hey, nothing much. Long time listener, first time caller.
Thanks,
appreciate
man.
The show and everything.
Appreciate
and
it.
Everything you do. I was saying about the expansion team in Philly. I think it would be great. I mean, I know me and my boys are a bunch of basketball fans, so we go to every game possible, probably.
Yeah, listen, Jalen, I'm not going to say I'll be at everyone probably like you, but I'll be there for sure because I'm just a basketball fan. And a city like Tyler just said, and you, Jalen, and your buddies all getting together to go there, I think it would be successful as well. And that's the reason. Look, it took too long where we're talking about 25 years later where they're talking about possibly using them as an expansion club. But they've come to their senses if they're putting them in the mix.
Yeah, I think Philly should definitely be at the top of the list just because, like I was saying earlier, it's a rabid basketball town. I mean, basketball is everywhere. I mean, when you think of Philly, you think of basketball and cheesesteaks. So what better place to put an expansion team at?
So what would the name be? Because it can't be the cheesesteaks.
That's tough.
Yeah, it is tough.
See, I was about to say Liberty because of the Liberty Bell, but...
Nah, you got that in New York, yeah.
So...
Yeah, we got to come up with a name, Jalen. We got to come up with a name.
How about the...
I don't know.
It seems like all the good names have been taken.
Yeah, but everybody gets creative, right? So, you know, Chicago has the sky. I don't know. We'll figure that one out, though. We'll figure that one out. Also, are you still involved with the Phillies right now, Jalen?
I'm not a baseball guy, but I do listen from time to time, so I'll say I'm involved.
All right. Well, listen, hang on, man. We appreciate that you're definitely in the mix because you all WNBA'd up like we are with the expansion squad. 610-632-0975. It can't be the cheesesteaks. You know, you don't want anything, no pretzels, no food. We'll figure something out. We will. We definitely will. All right, listen, Scott, we'll start with you when we get back. We it's been busy, and we want to keep it busy, but we want to give you all your time, Scott, so hang on. You do want to talk about the NBA Finals. I have not addressed it at all. I'm not running away from it. I just have not gotten to it as of yet, but hang on. Scott, Tyler just put another person on hold. Whoever's there, he'll get to you in a second as well. 610-632-0975 as we talk. Philly's just asking where you are, seeing how you feel about this team right now, because they have been playing some really good baseball, and just kind of, you know, figure out exactly where you are with what you feel about the squad. 7-3 in their last 10. They took 3 or 4 from the Marlins over the weekend. They can never beat them. And now they're getting ready to start off something with the Mets. I mean, the Yankees starting tomorrow, where you'll get Zach Wheeler on the mound tomorrow against the New York Yankees for their upcoming series. And we want to know, what do they need to do now if they are going to if they're going to compete and get to, I put one, if they're going to compete and get to the postseason, what do they have to do to add to this baseball team? And what's keeping you invested? Even though they are only 2 games up, and they are sitting right now with only 2 games up in the 40s, not in the 50s like everyone else, but you're in. What's keeping you in? 610-632-0975. Bruce, Coach B. Fleming says, Bells, which was a name for a smaller team, or Johns, and then he has the LOL, because you know, I'm not with that. 610, and that's rude to say that. 610-632-0975. We can't be calling the women Johns, even though, you know, it is said universally here, locally. Devon Gibbons with you until 10. We'll get back to the phone calls when we get back talking Phillies. And just throughout this thing that we saw about the WNBA mulling expansion in Philadelphia being a possible destination, your thoughts right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Devon Gibbons on 97.5, The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. 7:31, 97.5, The Fanatic. The 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by the Grace Auto Group. For low mileage Acuras, Lexus, BMWs, and F-150s, visit graceautopa.com. That's Grace Auto Group on Route 1 in Morrisville, PA, just minutes from Northeast Philly and Trenton. 610-632-0975. Devon Gibbons with you as we talk about the Phillies. We'll mix in a few other things as well. And, you know, we get names on Twitter about the WNBA team. Stacy says, now that would be disrespectful. The Johns. Well, Stacy, you don't have to worry about me saying it. I'm not doing that. That's ridiculous. And so Coach Fleming, we're going with the Bells for right now until we figure something else out. KK Alameen S. says the Philadelphia Bells, or Bella. Bella. All right, so that's two right there. Dev on Twitter says Philadelphia Unity or the Philadelphia Pride for a WNBA team.
I think Unity's too close to Union.
Okay. I
think that one would be tough.
We're getting a lot of the Bell or the Bells.
That was a team, right?
Yes.
In another league?
Yeah, it was another league. Yep. Cam also said it, Kyle. Cam underscore EST87, Philadelphia Bell. The jerseys would be like the Sixers Liberty Bell jerseys. I don't even like those jerseys, but I got you. Dargan Franks, I'm all in for a WNBA team in Philly. For the fourth largest market, it would definitely be successful. Philadelphia Skybirds, I'm willing to invest. Let's make it happen. I love it. I love it. The Bell Ringers, Jody says. Dodds Jody. The Bell Ringers. All right, we're getting a lot of these. All right. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones, talking to Little Phils, mixing in this WMEA story that I saw. Tyler and I were talking about it with Commissioner Kathy Engelbert, reiterated last week as I look at the story on frontofficesports.com that expanding the league is a priority. Charlotte, Houston, Philadelphia, and Toronto identified as potential expansion cities. How much would the WNBA team cost? Bankers estimated that 2019 sale of the New York Liberty, a bigger market team, was in the $10 million to $14 million range. So we'll talk about that with Mike, too, because you know, as we talked about, he said on Twitter, decided to call in, doesn't think he's going to make enough money. Some people do think it will. Some people don't. It would be an interesting case, though, to see if it happened here in Philadelphia. Scott in Pottsdale next. What's up, Scott?
What's going on, D?
Oh, not a lot, man.
You know what? I know they're down. I'm not trying to harp on the finals on you.
No, no, it's cool. I'm always going to talk about that stuff, so no matter what, I'll talk about it.
I just wanted to tell you, Cuz is balling out, man.
Yeah, I thought he could have got a little more shots, but, you know, selfishly, I didn't think he got the ball enough. And then when they got down after being up 16, you know, it just it went the other way. And then we protected the basketball, but blowing a 16-point lead like that, it's hard, especially when the momentum is shifting in the other way. You get that gut punch. Now, I think, and we got down at one point by 10 points. No, we got down by more than 10. It was like 16, and I'm like, oh, man, this isn't happening. We came back, though.
Yeah,
but that key turnover by Booker at the end really, really hurt.
Oh, my God. I was at the Phillies game, but...
Well, I was at the Suns game, and I was mad.
Yeah, I bet. But, yeah, I mean, regardless of what the team's doing, like, no disrespect to him, but it's not his team. Like, you know, don't put the whole weight of the team on him.
No, it is his team, but the heartbeat of the team is more of Paul.
Yeah, I mean,
but he's not even playing well.
It's not his responsibility to keep the team away from a 16-point deficit.
Yeah, I thought Booker kind of went into hero mode a little bit too much.
He kind of has been all series, and like, I don't know if I blame him because the dude's like, I mean, he's one of the best players on the planet, but...
Yeah, but what got you there was, yes, you doing that, but also the team game that has gotten you to where you are.
Right.
And let's not get away from that. And I understand that he has to take shots.
Like he can't get going, and he wants to try and force himself.
Yeah. So sometimes, you know, it's tough, man, because he's been great. He's really, really been good.
He's so good. Do you watch him pregame at all?
Yes.
So am I out of line by saying I've never seen guys do some of the exercises he does pregame?
No, he does some different things, and it's what he does. He's been doing it
for
a while.
When you watch the dribble penetration in the game, you go, well, I know why he can do that so well.
Yeah, and then the dribble penetration, he took one too many dribbles in that final possession.
Just collapsed on him. But,
yeah, pull up, so, man, or pass the ball.
So I'm still pulling for the Suns, man.
Thank you, man.
I got to say, like, there have been probably three of the best basketball plays I've ever seen happen in this series.
Giannis and Drew.
And, man, if you're a fan, whew, man.
Drew, when he stripped Booker in game four.
First of all, Drew Holiday has been dogging Chris Paul.
That's why Chris Paul, partially for me, Scott, has not been himself. To be picked up for 84 feet, not 94 feet, because he gives him a couple of dribbles, but to be picked up for 84 feet, and have to work so hard to get the ball up. And then oftentimes you're going into the corner once you get past the half court line and get the ball out of your hands. It's wearing on him, man.
Or he's having to do that no look spin where like he has no clue who's waiting for him on the other end. Like he's getting away with it right now. But I've never seen a guy dog Chris Paul like that. Like I always liked Drew Holiday. I'm a huge fan. But damn, man, he's earning his money.
He is. He's definitely earning his money, man, in any offensive performance that he put on. In game five, where he started off really well, and I thought they took too long to put Mikhail on him to try to slow him down, and then Chris Middleton got loose. So it was a tough one. I think we still have a chance tomorrow night.
Absolutely.
And hopefully
and
we're talking about seven games.
It's sort of like, you know, anyone can win any year, but it's sort of like not their time. Like they seemingly are like too young to be where they're at, but they're here anyway.
Yeah. So,
like props to them, man. They're great coach. Sucks to see him coaching the Suns, but
I thought that he even got out coached as the game went along because I thought he used the rotations a little too much in that game Mikhail was on the bench too long, Booker was on the bench too long, and I thought Crowder was on the bench too long at one point as well.
Yeah, and I know you give the Bucks more credit than I do.
I always do.
I was sort of I mean, look, don't get me wrong too, like they picked up Drew at the deadline. Like without him, I don't know.
They picked him up in the offseason.
Oh, did they?
They picked up Tucker at the deadline.
Yeah.
And that's
right.
How it went. Scott, listen, man, hang on. Thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. Yes, go Suns. And we hope that we can still pull this one off. For me, just to address it, yes, it is something that was frustrating this weekend. I did say to Scott that I was there on Saturday. And I'm only saying it because Pat Egan, who runs our social media, did ask me beforehand if I was there to send him a picture. I was reluctant to do so. He pulled my arm and all that, and I finally sent him a picture while I was there. And this was, because I didn't say anything before, it's my second game out there during the playoffs. I went to game 5 against the Clippers as well. Another loss, so I'm 0-2 while visiting and going to the games. And that place is crazy when they get going. Crazy when they get going. And then when we got up by 16 in the first quarter, I'm like, listen, no doubt. No doubt we're going to win this one. You got to hold off Milwaukee. They're going to make a run. They're always poised. They're not going to fold. You just got to make them. You have to beat them. Unfortunately, we couldn't beat them. And then it came down to the clutch. And Booker took one too many dribbles into the defense, into the painted area. Drew Holiday is a all-league defender. And with all those other arms that were around him, I thought he should have recognized quickly that with us being, we were down 3 with like 45 seconds and he had PJ Tucker on him. Thought he was going to pull up and just dagger him and tie it, and we're just going to have to go to overtime if we get stopped down the other end or get the final shot and figure out overtime. But then he did what he has been doing. He got to a spot. He wanted to get to a spot, left elbow, pull up, but he didn't pull up. He took another dribble and he dribbled right into the traffic. And then now you get the legendary play. Drew steals it, goes the other way. Maybe you feel like you pulled the ball out to let the clock run down, pick up the foul, play the free throw game now going forward. And unfortunately, he threw a perfectly timed alley-oop. And I'm sitting there with my cousins, Mikael's brother, and I'm like, yo, he's going to throw an oop right here. I can see it. That was just the point guard in me. I see the play developing. You can see Giannis sprinting down the floor. Drew wasn't going to take a shot, even though Chris Paul was there, and he could, you know, go attack him with his size and his strength, and Chris Paul not being who he has been. And he threw a perfect alley-oop, and Giannis understood that he couldn't hang on to the ball and afford to miss it, so he flushed it, really, instead of dunking it like we've seen him. And defensively, I thought Monty Williams didn't do enough, where Milwaukee is doing these right things where they're, we've seen it plenty of times. It's a lot of, you know, the pick and roll game is number one in basketball. And with the pick and roll, they're getting, and I'm not saying this because, of course, of who he is to me, but their best wing defender is Mikael. Whenever they have Kale on them, they're trying to set the picks to get him off. And the way that they trail going over the top when Kale does it, they're now figuring out, because the lob has killed him so much, with Giannis being the pick, the screen setter, Middleton, Holiday, whoever it is the ball handler. And the lobs were so effective early on. Now that you've identified that and kind of taken that away, you got to figure something out differently. The help has to be there to close out when, you know, Mikael is trailing a little bit, even with the length. You see why Chris Middleton is one of my favorites. And I hate that he's having this type of series against the team that I'm rooting for. They're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to close out or what? Are you going to help Mikael out? And they've had too many quarters where I've seen it, where they've shot. I think the second quarter when I looked at it, no, third quarter, when I looked, it was second or third quarter, they shot like 70%. And I'm like, damn, we shot 50, but they shot 70. They wouldn't miss. They couldn't miss. But defensively, we got to be better. This period. It's the bottom line. And I thought Monty Williams used the bench a little bit too much too long, where he had 3-4 guys out there. Chris Paul was out there for sure. Cam Johnson was out there. I believe Ayton was out. So it was Cam Johnson, Torrey Craig, Cam Payne, and maybe one more. Maybe Jay Crowder was out there. But it was like, no. You can't have 3 guys. I understand the players need to rest. But when 16-point lead and you see them chipping away, stop the bleeding quicker. Torrey Craig missed the layup. All right, cool. He was going too fast on his pick and roll. It was a great pass by Chris Paul. Maybe stop a little floater off the glass. 2 points, bang. All good. He has another wide-open 3-pointer. And he typically hits this in those 3-pointers and those. And I'm talking too much about the Suns and nobody cares. I'm sorry, but he normally hits those, but it's like he does it with the other lineup out there with him, the other personnel. And when you have Johnson, who they're trying to take away because of his shooting ability, Chris Paul, who hasn't been himself the last 3 games, Torrey Craig is the one that's going to be the beneficiary of some open shots, and he missed them. So I thought the bleeding should have been stopped a little bit sooner. The comeback was great, but unfortunately, you lose a game five. And oftentimes I say it, game five really tells the story in the series. They typically win. I hope that is not the case in this one. I think there will be a game seven. I hope that's not me just speaking out of, we'll see. 610-632-0975. So no, I won't run away from any finals talk. It's fine. Somebody even tweeted me. I seen it when I got back. I would tweet out one after they get one game one. I tweet out two after they won game two. I was waiting for three. Thought it was going to be this one. And I thought it was going to be game four. And somebody said, yeah, still stuck at two. Listen, I don't run away from it. Yeah. Unfortunately, there is still stuck on two. Devon Givens with you until 10, 610-632-0975. Mike and Del Ran. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, Devon?
What's happening, man?
How you been, man? So my tweet was it was when you asked the question why.
Okay. Wouldn't be supportive, but
I mean, I'd be supportive of any Philadelphia sports team. You know, I mean, I'm not a soccer fan. I don't ever really watch it, but I've gone to a reunion game or two. Like, I'll support it. But the people that are saying it'll definitely be successful or anything like that, like, you kind of got to put a measuring stick on what that success is, right? Like, I don't know if this is correct or not, but I thought I read not long ago that there's never been a season in that 25 years where a city or a WNBA team ever operated in the green financially. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't. So if your idea is to just provide that entertainment, I mean, I think the NBA pays that, right? The NBA covers the cost of the WNBA, I believe, unless I'm wrong.
Yeah, they do, but it's just, you've seen instances where even New York has had to sell, and Charlotte and Houston selling their teams as well.
Right. So it's like, you know, would it be cool for young girls to be able to go do that? Yeah, but at the same time, I think I'm a big fan of college basketball, like girls' college basketball. I watch those games
a
lot.
Women's
college basketball. I watch that all the time.
Yeah.
Like, that generates money. That's excitement. Those kids are really good. For some reason, I don't really follow the WNBA. It's just like, you know.
And you know the players.
You know the players. Yeah, I know the players. But again, I don't know. It would never reach the, like, you would never hear someone saying I'm a 5-for-5 or 6-for-6. You know what I'm saying? They'll always be the top four. But as far as entertainment and stuff like that, listen, I coach girls basketball. I watch girls basketball. I'm sure it'd be entertaining. Would I take my daughters to go see a game or two? Absolutely.
Yeah, and if it was here, it might be a little different for you.
Right, because I have not really had the opportunity to go.
Exactly, yeah. You're not going to New York to see them, unfortunately. You're not going to Charlotte to see the Sting when they were playing either, even if Dawn Staley was there. So if it was here in your own backyard, you would probably pay a little more attention.
Exactly.
Especially with your kids, your daughters, you want to let them see it. Yeah,
definitely. And as far as the name goes, the Bells is the best one.
The Bells.
Like, if it was like 1960s, you can get away with like the Broad, right? Yeah. For Broad Street or like the John.
Yeah, we're not doing that one.
You can't do that. I think Bell, if it happened, Bell would be the way to go. All so right. Me and Tyler, we got a lunch bet, though. I'm telling you, if it ever happens, it never operates in the green, and that's just a sad fact.
That, and I hope that is not the case if they do get it. I hope we support it. I hope it works out for the long term.
Good luck. I'm pulling for the Cubs, even though I keep hearing you with this we talk. I get it, family. I get it.
Yeah, yeah. Once he got there. Pulling. Yeah, if it was the Celtics, it wouldn't be we, but once he got to Phoenix, it was, you know.
I hear you.
It is what it is.
I'm happy for you, Devon.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Mike. You got it, man. 610-632-0975. Yeah, it's tough because you don't know. You don't know, but this is such a basketball town that I think it will work. If you're going to do it in, figure it out in other places, try to figure it out in other places, why not try to figure it out here either? Now, there has to be interest for somebody to do it and to want to pay for it and invest in this and get it going. Not just Dargan Franks on Twitter, where he's going to pitch in however much he's pitching in. Got to have some real people investing in it that really want this to succeed. And then you have to have the right people to come in to build a team for it to be successful as well. It just is. 610-632-0975. The Bells continue to run away with the name for the WNBA franchise. Let's go to Tony in South Philly next on the Fanatic. Talk a little Phils, which is what we started off with. Tone.
Hey, what's up, Devon?
What's up, Tone?
All right. I got to look at the Phillies. They're the only team left. Until the Eagles get started. So I'm going to have to go with them. But, yeah, I was looking at the team, man. They got so many needs. But I think their main need is the pitching.
Now, bullpen or starting?
Both. I think they need to change the bullpen because some guys, I think they lost like 23. They blown 23 saves. Now imagine if they was wins. We'd be running away with this division.
Yeah, and Tyler brought that up earlier, if that was the case, and that's why he identified Tone to have the relief pitching as a focus during the trade deadline to bring some help in here so we don't have those issues. My only counter was if you had an additional starter that you can count on, and I know it's going to be hard to get at this time, but if you had an additional starter, maybe you wouldn't have to use the bullpen as much, and you can save them for even that fifth starter or the occasional one, two, or three main guys that doesn't have a good game, and then you get your bullpen going a little bit longer. But there is no wrong answer here because they are not a perfect team.
Right. And I would like Cole Hamels to come back.
Yeah, so because, we talked about that Friday. Yep, Tom. Yep.
Aaron Nola, who he got to teach him how to be an ace?
Well, he's not going to replace him.
He's
not going to replace him, but as far as teaching him, look, Zach Wheeler's done a fine job as being that ace. And they have, and you have a guy like Joe Girardi, who was a longtime catcher in the league, and you have a great catcher in JT Realmuto right now who can call the game. So it's up to him to figure out how to get out of these bad spots that he puts himself in, Tone. Aaron Nola, as far as, you know, this guy that we look at as a starting caliber top two pitcher in any rotation is obviously here.
Yeah, but you know, it's hard playing in Philly. I don't know why, but a lot of players have a hard time playing in Philly. I think if he had somebody that was here with him that understood what it was like being in here, I think he would feel a whole lot better.
Tone,
because
that's not...
when he came out, he was a starter.
Well, yeah, but, you know, they were so bad, and he was so good so fast. Thanks for the call, Tone. Really appreciate it. They threw him in the mix as a top pick, as a, you know, a first-level type of starter. You want to put him in the mix right away, young player. He's been in some big games in college, and you feel like he can handle it, and he has. But I think more so he's shown that he's probably a two in a perfect scenario, and that's okay. That's okay, but you need to build the right overall staff. 610-632-0975. Some issues happening right now again with Team USA and basketball, but that's not the case I want to bring up. I want to bring something else up. Remember all the great, like the yacht and stuff those guys were staying on before when they were out there with the Olympics? Talk about the living quarters a little bit as we go along. Something interesting. 610-632-0975. James, though, hang on your first when we get back. Brian as well. We're keeping the Phillies talk going, and Jesse wants to talk about the WNBA team as we brought up the WNBA commissioner, Kathy Engelbert, reiterating that Charlotte, Houston, Toronto, and Philadelphia identified as potential expansion cities. Would you support a WNBA team here in town? I know I would. How about you? 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you, James. We start with you when we get back right here, 25 minutes commercial-free, and a little twist to the living situation with the Olympic teams in Tokyo here on the Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, the Fanatic.
Eight o'clock, 97.5, the Fanatic. I have a bad back. I don't know, sports, whatever. I don't know. Whatever it is, have a bad back, bad lower back. I had back spasms, and it popped up on me when I was playing basketball about, I would say now, let me see, my kid, she is 14 now. So I would say somewhere maybe 10 years ago, I was playing ball, went up for a rebound, turned around, boom, locked up on me. I was done. Right, chiropractor, all that stuff. It helped out. Still have the issues to this day where it just hurts. Okay? It just hurts. So I need to sleep on like a firm mattress. It works for me. Sleep on my back. Sometimes on my side. Whatever. And you look at, and I saw Stacy, she knew what I was going to talk about. You look at what the Olympics and what they do for the athletes in the Olympic Village, Well, this year it's in Tokyo, and we've seen guys have been on the yachts, especially the basketball team. They make sure that they're all set up perfectly, and you know, they have a certain lifestyle that we don't live. Well, this year, Tokyo, the Olympics pushed, of course, a year later because of the pandemic. Cardboard beds distributed in Tokyo's Olympic Village are designed to be eco-friendly, according to the IOC. I don't know. I've only seen, I don't know. I don't know what this does. Now, are players allowed to have their own mattresses brought in? I don't know what this is outside of the eco-friendly part of it. Are there other theories, anti-something, being thrown about there? A rumor that was put out there by Paul Chelimo, Olympic runner. To basically avoid intimacy among athletes is what he said. Okay, whatever. But this is different. Cardboard beds were made, I'm looking at USA Today, to be sustainable, but also comfortable, according to Takashi Kitajima, a Tokyo 2020 organizer in charge of the athletes' village. All right, whatever works. Let's hope it works out. Because I don't know if the team is going to be able to, especially when I'm talking about the basketball team, I'm not even sure if they're going to be able to win this one. They have issues. And now Zach LaVine is in health and safety protocol. 610-632-0975. We'll tell you the 7 and 8 o'clock winners in just a moment. Tyler will let you know about that. We have two more pairs after that to give away in the 8 and 9 o'clock hours as we talk about the Phillies. We mix in a little WNBA conversation as well. Jesse will talk about that in just a second. But first, we go to James in Germantown here on the Fanatic. What's up, James?
Tyrone, I want to talk Justice to Tyrone. Why does he think that the Phillies...
Well, Tyrone is not here.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm looking at another show then.
No, Tyrone is being simulcast on television.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm Devon.
All right, but Devon, why are the people in Philadelphia so hard on Herrera when he's perfect for this lineup? And if they're going to go anywhere as far as playoffs are concerned, he's going to be a staple in center field.
Well, I don't think he's perfect, but part of it, James, has to do with everything with the off-the-field things, even though some people have gotten past it because he has played somewhat okay this season since he's returned. A lot of that has to do with it as well. And then you feel like you can improve at a certain position, then they want to do it. And if you're not all the way in on said player, then of course they're not going to look at him and think that he is that type of player. So don't think he's perfect for what they do. They can improve on it, which is why we keep talking about other players around the league. We brought up Buxton. We've talked about Chris Bryant, of course, who can play in many different spots. But overall, if you can upgrade the position, you can upgrade the position. He was certainly better than anything that they had coming out of spring training. And the fact that he started off not on the roster and all of that. But I think they can upgrade the position, James.
Well, if you don't get a center fielder, everyday center fielder, then you're not going to get one at this stage, this time of the season. Who else do you have?
Right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying, I see these little guys that they've got out there in center field, and then they get hits or something. But for the course of the season, this is a professional baseball player who can hit.
Yeah, and I hear you. I hear you, James. And I get it. I get it. We're all trying to figure out if they had the right person there, we wouldn't even be talking about this.
Right, but we want to win. The whole
certainly.
Thing is winning.
Certainly.
So what gives you the best chance of winning is having the best possible player in each position.
Yeah, but and again, that's why we're trying to figure out the right player. He's not it, James. He's played well.
We have nobody on this roster in Philadelphia for center field that can play as well as he can.
But see, that's why also, James, thanks for the call. That's why when you look at our Twitter poll that Tyler has brought to you by nobody on our Twitter account, that Tyler put What did he put? You know what, Ty? We haven't had an update.
You want to update the poll?
Let's get the update on the poll, and then we'll go to Jesse.
Let's do it. So, obviously, our question today surrounding the trade deadline, because it's only 12 days or so away, is which of these positions do you feel that the Phillies need to most address? And before we give you the results, we had a couple of people tweet at us. Probably should be all of them, right? Of course it should be all of them. They're an imperfect team.
Right. If they can go get three people to identify each, then sure, but they won't.
Right, right.
So you can get three people.
You got 90
all
minutes,
right,
or so.
Maybe the Cole Hamels thing, right?
So, right, if you can get Cole Hamels in,
a relief pitcher and a position
because the
player.
One is just the money, but you do have to be careful because Dombrowski and Middleton about the taxes, and I don't know what their plan is with that. But you do have about 90 minutes left to vote on this poll. Your options are center field, starting pitching, or relief pitching. And with just under 800 votes so far, 70% of the vote says they need to address most of the relief pitching. 18% say starting pitching, just 12% say center field.
See, there you go, James. There you go. The majority of people want relief pitching, but they also think that center field should be improved as well. And I agree. 610-632-0975. The month of June, your boy says the WNBA team should be the Philadelphia Bullies. Nah. I don't like it.
I feel like that was a team, too.
The Bullies?
Something.
But not...
Something like it wasn't... I forget what sport. I got to look it up because I feel like that was a team name somewhere.
All right. What people aren't saying, though, they're giving us a name. So I guess they're supporting it, but would you support it? Would you support it? It's my question. Jesse in Bucks County. Jesse.
Can you hear me?
I got you loud and clear.
How you feel, Devon?
Jesse, I'm doing all right, man. Thanks.
Yeah, I was coming up with a name. I heard you talk about some names, and I thought the experience or the independence would be good. How that sound?
The spirits?
The independence. Philadelphia Independence.
Uh-huh.
Or the experience.
The experience.
Right.
The independence sounds better.
Uh-huh.
Is that too long? I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. That might be a little... But, I mean, look, you can still put Philadelphia on the jersey and don't have to worry about the independence part, but it's not bad. It's not bad. So would you support a team, Jesse, here in town?
Yeah, I would. I mean, that would be good for Philly, I think, you know.
Oh, I do.
I think so, you know. And plus, we like, you know, we a sports town anyway, so we're going to back it.
Yeah, if it's a good product, I think people here would back it no matter what, if it's a good product.
Right.
Yep, right. Absolutely. Jesse, thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it. Stepping in. So we're giving away Fan Fest tickets as well. And you have two pairs that we have given away from
yes.
the 6 and 7 o'clock hours.
Yep.
Who do we have?
Six and seven o'clock? Our guy, Nate, is going to come with us.
Nate.
And also we have Jalen is going with us
Jalen,
as well.
I like that. That was a good phone call by Jalen as well, talking a little WNBA. Stacy had a great one. Philadelphia Freedom. I like it.
It was a tennis team.
I know, but I like
it. It's a good name, though.
It is. Yeah, I like it. That was when they would have the teams come in sometimes they would play at St. Joe's. I think they would play at Villanova, the tennis team.
Yes.
Tennis,
yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. As we said, we have FanFest tickets. We have two more to give away in the 8 and the 9 o'clock hour. 610-632-0975 if you want to jump in. It's the return of 97.5 The Fanatics Fan Fest, Saturday, September 18th at Xfinity Live. Fan Fest 2021 is a free event, but you will need a ticket to attend. Keep listening for ticket giveaways like we are doing now and more special announcements.
And Fan Fest 2021 is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook and Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia, the official hotel partner and after party of 97.5 The Fanatics Fan Fest 2021. You do have to be 21 or older to attend Fan Fest this summer.
Get involved. 610-632-0975. We'd love to see you there. It's the day before the home opener for the Philadelphia Eagles after they beat who is it, the Atlanta Falcons in week one.
Yes.
They got to take down the 49ers in week two.
Yeah, I don't know what the line is on that first week game, but I'm taking the over.
Taking the over?
By a lot.
The Atlanta game?
Yeah, because I don't expect either of those teams to have good defenses.
But do you expect the Eagles to have the offense to be able to put up the numbers that you know Atlanta can put up?
No, because not that Atlanta can put up, because I don't expect the Eagles to win that game. Mm-hmm. But if Atlanta gives you 30-35, okay, and the Eagles give you 27-30,
okay,
I can't. I mean, unless the over-under is like 60.
You're already going over.
I'm probably going to take the over.
You're already going over. How about this one? Sandy Koufax, Tyler, WNBA team could be named the Philadelphia Fire. I like that. Go see the ladies play as long as Dawn Staley was a part of it. Look, she has to say yes. If she doesn't, and you know you went after her and, you know, given the opportunity, she could do both. Could she do both? Could she do both?
I don't know if a contract would allow that.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Because remember, in the offseason, you got to do recruiting and everything too, so.
I know. She's Dawn Staley. She doesn't have to recruit anymore. Look at our resume.
There's a couple of coaches that are like that. She's made that.
She's at that point now.
Echelon, right? It's Dawn Staley. It's Gino Auriemma.
You're talking about.
It was Pat Summitt for a long time.
Oh, for sure. Vivian Stringer, Rutgers. You look at Dawn Staley's resume in general, player and coach, of course.
Yes, of course. Speaks for itself.
I think they said this is like her sixth straight Olympics. Three as a player.
Between player and coach?
And coach.
Nobody else I'd want to, to coach.
No question. But I would still, Sandy, I would go if the coach was good and Dawn Staley didn't want to do it. She felt like it was much better to be in college. You know? Just have her like, I don't know, ever involved somehow. It would be a crime if she wasn't involved. How about that?
I mean, I think if it wasn't, you know, coach, you could still do something like team ambassador, right? Like brand.
Sure.
Ambassador of some kind. Because that's the biggest.
I guess the only
one of the biggest names in Philadelphia basketball.
Yeah, I guess the only part would be, again, the fact that she is part of the NCAA. She can gear players whenever they become free agents to go to Philadelphia. But they're going to be loaded because they only have a small amount of teams. So they're going to have good players on the team. It's just going to happen. It's going to happen. Trade for Asia Wilson. Start there. And Paige Backers, and we're rolling. I'd be all in on that team, boy. I tell you.
It'd be a good team.
That'd be a good team. 610-632-0975. Big Slim OA says, if they let the WNBA team here play on Broad Street at Temple University, I think it would be more up close and personal. Very true. Very true. But they're probably going to target the center first. Just my opinion. The Philadelphia Passion, that's from Broad Street Bully 99. Vincent E. Jacobs says the Philadelphia Freedom as well. He was going to say the same thing. And 76ers39 said, I would support them as hoops, bruh. Call them the Philadelphia Ronin. Give us like an outlaw, badass, renegade name is what he says. Or call them the Renegades.
I kind of like that. Philadelphia Renegades.
I like the Fire.
Philadelphia
Sandy
Fire?
Koufax. But what's the connection to the city? The Fire.
Yeah, usually, you know, obviously when you move
Renegades
a team,
too.
When you move a team, connections get kind of weird. But when you're starting a team, you've got to have something.
Got to have a connection to the city. Right?
Yeah.
Got to have a connection. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens hanging out with you until 10. Tyler Zuli producing 945. The Leftovers, two pairs of Fanatic Fan Fest tickets were left to give out in the 8 and 9 o'clock hours. Let's go to Brian next here in Plymouth Meeting. What's up, B?
Yo, D, how's your weekend?
It was good to be out there with everyone. And it was the atmosphere was fantastic. Again, now this is my second game during the playoffs.
Oh, you were out in Phoenix.
Yeah, I was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was good, but it wasn't good.
Sorry, man. Yeah, I was cool with the, you know, our failure as long as I didn't think the Bucks were going to win. But when I got sick to my stomach watching that game.
Yeah, man, they went three straight.
I don't know.
Three
straight. Your stomach must be in knots watching these games. I can't even imagine.
My goodness.
All right, well, let's a little bit more brighten it up. If we can get those Twins from Fresno State, I'll get.
They're already making money. They might not want to play anymore. They're making money.
They got to expand the brand of the
They East do. Team. They do. Did you see their money already that they've committed to?
No, I just saw the initial story. And
oh, my goodness. Yeah. They're already in six figures with their social media accounts, with they've already been very popular. And now Cricket, I think it's Cricket or Boost Mobile, has partnered up with them. And then another company as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of this, us old heads missed the boat, man. A lot of these kids
19 years old.
Monetize their social media. And smart. Yeah, the cardboard beds, I mean, they're lucky. They could be sleeping in a Carl Farbman dresser.
As long as it doesn't get too steamy in there and close up for them.
Yeah, you can't have a hot tub in there. That's all.
Can't have that sauna in there. That little hot tub sauna, yep.
All right, so now the main course. A little background on Byron Buxton. He was the number two pick the year the Pirates took Gerrit Cole number one. And he's the guy, I'm retired from fantasy baseball, but he's the fantasy baseball guy that every owner thinks this year is the year, and you draft him and he breaks your heart. Or he's good for 2 weeks and you pick him up and then he strikes out like 7 out of 10 at bats for weeks on end.
Right.
If we pick him up on the, you know, whatever. I mean, I guess we don't really have any prospects that are untouchable anyway, but the classic move there would be he would have two hot months and then the Phillies give him some huge 5-year contract.
And, and then he's hurt again. Yep.
I mean, the performance is kind of shaky as well. And then I was saying to Tyler, all right, I'm just going to rag on this organization. The Phillies organization is like a ticket to lifetime employment. And they changed the front people, but it's all the same people. I bet you they have a sign on the wall that says, "What would Paul Owens do?" And they're the way they handle pitching, they haven't developed a starting pitcher probably since Dickie Knowles. The only thing, like, Cole Hamels pitched like 120 innings in the minor leagues. The only thing they taught him was to not get in bar fights, or at least if you are, don't use your pitching hand on someone's face. And then Nola was a major league ready college pitcher, so they don't get credit for developing him either. But they do this with all these pitchers. They it's like a white whale for them. They try to develop these starters because they think if they develop a legit starting pitcher, they're like, well, we don't have to pay him for 6 years. Think of the savings. And and our bullpen is always lousy because you, like, with veteran bullpen guys, they don't have enough innings to have, like, a sample size of a full bullpen season it's not enough of a sample size to predict future performance. Plus, those guys are more likely to get hurt. Smart teams take young pitchers with live arms, two major league pitches, and they bring them up to the majors as soon as they can control, not even command, those two major league pitches. And then it gives those pitchers an idea of what they need to do to succeed at the major league level, and you let them work on their secondary stuff in the offseason. But the Phillies are, like, I was saying to Tyler, like, Adonis Medina's been our number two pitching prospect for at least 4 years. Now, where is this guy? They probably have, his head is so screwed up because they're trying to make him this top-line starter. If you just bring him up and let him use his whatever his two best pitches are and just let him throw to the catcher's mitt, I'll bet you his performance gets way better. Instead of just swapping out these fly-by-night veteran guys that they run out there, this organization is close to hopeless.
Yeah, they're in a tough spot, man. I know, B. It's just... It's,
bring back the A's.
The A's, like you said.
Get rid of the owner. Let's
start off with no money down there on the books, and you can build this team the right way.
Or,
I got you.
Or we could have the two Fresno State Twins.
The Twins
own the team.
Bring the Twins in here and let them do things. Listen, man. Are you? Did you get tickets yet?
Yeah, I'm.
You already on the list? Okay, cool. All right, man. Well, listen, thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it.
Have a good night, guys.
Thanks, man. You too. Yeah, see, and that's the thing. We talk about the other side when it comes to the Phillies right now, where it's just one of those things. Not look, Brian is in, but they're still frustrating because of the overall outlook of the team. The fact that you have to go do these other things, still knowing that, as the tweeter said to us on Twitter, how about all three of them? That's the thing. You want to go in and maybe get one or two things that you can just shore up, but not having to be so big and so significant. They have not done things the right way. We know it. They haven't. Tyler, I see your mind spinning.
Yeah, so
let's wait till after the break so you can say that.
Yeah.
Because you got a lot to say, and Jim is also...
He's right. It's frustrating.
It is very frustrating, and Jim wants to talk about Jalen Hurts. Nice. I want to talk about this. Training camp. Next week, we get our first option to see who wins the quarterback battle. They won't name a starter. Who wins the quarterback? Yeah, exactly. Jim, they never named Jalen Hurts as the starter. We'll talk to Jim when we get back. 610-632-0975. Devon Gibbons with you. Talking Phils. A little WNBA, right? A little side thing there. We're talking about the WNBA and others right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Gibbons. On 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
That thing had eyes. Love that. Flyers in business over the weekend as well. We got to get into all of that, right? Flyers doing some good things. Got the Flyers fans a little bit interested in the offseason, right? A little bit interested in the offseason. And yes, good evening. Ryan Ellis is a Philadelphia Flyer. How about that? Sprung that on us, right? Not bad at all. Not bad at all. So Ryan Ellis now a Flyer, and we talked about the defense all season long. And you go out there and you get someone like Ryan Ellis, and what does he have left? 6 years left on his deal? Is it six, 5 or 6 years left on his deal? Is it a big number? Like, what wasn't it? Wasn't it a big number?
Let me take a look, because it's not small. I will say that it's.
But we're good with it.
Yeah, that's all right for sure.
That's all right.
He is a free agent in 2027.
There you go.
So you got 6 years left. But it's only $6 million a year.
That's all right, too. That's all right, too. Good move. Nice work.
Absolutely.
Chuck Fletcher in the group going out there and getting Ryan Ellis.
You know, and we when I was in with Tyrone a little bit ago, and we had Taryn Hatcher on, and yes, she was talking about, you know, the kind of almost like the compromise between the evolution, if you will, of Phil Myers versus the kind of like the known of what Ryan Ellis is. And while you know, I think a lot of us were looking forward to seeing the career trajectory of Philip Myers, you have to make this move.
You have to.
It makes total sense.
No, you got to give up something to get something. This something is very, very good. It's something very, very good. 610-632-0975. We'll talk about the expansion stuff as well. But first, Jim in Glassboro has been waiting patiently. Jim, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Doing well.
First time caller, long time listener. So
Thank you, Jim.
Enjoying the show tonight.
Appreciate it.
I just had a couple points I was thinking about, and I thought I'd bring it to you. Like, I think Jalen Hurts deserves a fair shake. I think he's doing everything right as far as what he's got to do to get ready for the season, and I think he's going to ultimately be the starter. I feel like Flacco's your Jeff Garcia, so to speak, of the team. You need like that veteran backup. He's been in all the types of systems, so he should be able to, you know, fill in well if he needs to. But I just think Jalen deserves to be named the starter. So
Jim,
we'll
I don't think there's a competition. I think he's making it a competition because he doesn't want to hand the position to Jalen Hurts. He wants to make him feel like he's earned it. But here's the thing about Jalen Hurts, Jim. From what we've seen with Alabama, the success, and then not necessarily the failure, but the fact that he was replaced, and then he had to move on and go to Oklahoma, did the same thing, drafted in the second round behind a player in Carson Wentz, where it felt like he wasn't going to get on the field. So what is he here for? Nothing is handed to him. And I think he understands that. He knows he has to earn it, especially with how things ended with Carson Wentz a season ago. New coach coming in. I believe that he knows he has to earn this spot, and he wants to win over the fan base overall. So he'll eventually, Jim, be the starter, but they're going to right now play the game of, you know, competition, open competition.
Right, right. I totally agree with you on that. I think what we really need to do is we need to go out and get a cornerback because
you're not kidding. It can't be Avante Maddox again. Now, with all due respect, slot corner, sure. Starting on the outside, no.
You can leave. You don't have to name your quarterback. Just go out and get us a cornerback for the start of the season.
Yeah, and I just saw something where Gilmore doesn't. You know, he's having some issues with his contract with the New England Patriots, and he would like to stay. But they're not meeting the demands that he and his people want. So right now, who knows what's going to happen there. I don't think he's going to be moved from New England. They'll eventually figure it out, especially with them getting all the people back that they're going to get on defense, starting with Hightower and all. They're going to figure it out. But they do, Jim, have to get someone opposite Darius Slay because it just cannot happen. Cannot happen.
Yeah, and I have a team name if I could. See
well, please,
you
first you have to tell us if you would support the WNBA squad.
Yeah, definitely.
Good.
Definitely. I think, so here's my thinking on this one. So I was thinking the Philadelphia fireworks. Because the first thing you think of on the 4th of July, Independence, Philadelphia, I always think fireworks. So I thought Philadelphia fireworks.
And they do play in the summer.
Right.
So, but what if we said fire and just took the, but the fireworks, that would be interesting. I don't know. I got to get Tyler's thoughts on this, Jim. But first, you hang on, man. Would you like to join us Saturday, September 18th at Xfinity Live?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Let's put you on hold, Jim. Thanks so much, man. Put you in there. Qualify you for the 8 o'clock hour. Get your thoughts on Fanatic Fan Fest again, returning Saturday, September 18th at Xfinity Live. Talking about these very birds. That's the day before their home opener at the Link. FanFest 2021 is a free event, but you have to get in with a ticket. You need one. You can't just walk up and say, hey, I know Tyler Zuli. We went to high school together. No, you have to have a ticket, and then you can come in and talk about how you and Tyler went to high school together and played on the same baseball team. Keep listening for ticket giveaways and more special announcements, like the ticket giveaway that we have tonight where we're giving away 4 pair of tickets. Tonight as well. Qualify you. Gave away 1 in the 6 o'clock hour, 1 in the 7 o'clock hour, and we'll do so again for the 8 and 9 o'clock hours as well. The Fanatic Fan Fest is presented by...
Sorry about that, Devon. It is presented by FanDuel, excuse me. It is FanFest. Yes, FanFest Sportsbook. That's maybe what we'll call it that day. hopefully you get some winners while you're there. FanDuel Sportsbook and Live Casino in Hotel Philadelphia, the official hotel partner and after party of 97.5, the Fanatics Fan Fest 2021. And Devon, we do have to remind the people, you do have to be 21 to attend the event.
21. Have to be 21. You can't sneak people in again, say you're Tyler Zuli's cousin at 19 or even 20 and your birthday is tomorrow. You can't do it. Got to be 21. Got to be 21. It's a fun time, though.
Now, my cousins are friends. They have to work extra hard to get tickets. We're not just handing them out.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. You're absolutely right. Kid, got to work hard. Got to get Ashley in there. We got to get Ashley at the Fan Fest hanging out with us. Got to get all the people there.
Well, you know we want to see as many people as we possibly can.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. 610-632-0975.
And every time we get a winner and, you know, I talk to them on the phone, last thing I say to them before we hang up and we get back to the show is, hey, if you are there, you got to make it a point to come see us. Come say hello. You know, we can kind of meet up for the first time. Not the first time, but
right.
In person for the first time.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. So 610-632-0975. The fireworks. He said the team name would be the fireworks for the WNBA squad. No go.
I think I'm out on it.
Okay.
I think the fire sounds cool, but I just there's no connection.
Fireworks. I don't know.
You know, and it's not like there's, you know, there obviously there's sports where team names are similar, but there is a Fire team. The Chicago Fire are in the MLS.
Okay, fair enough. Do you watch the TV show?
I've seen some episodes, but I can't say I consistently watch it.
Pretty entertaining.
There's like three of them, right? They all like live in the same world.
Fire, Med, and PD.
PD?
Yeah. PD is the best to me.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I had I have a buddy of mine who was one of my roommates in college, too. That was like appointment TV for him. I think Fire was his favorite one. But it was like whatever night it was on. Tuesday, whatever it was.
Yeah, I don't know what
it was. Appointment TV. He was locked in at like 9 o'clock on a Tuesday.
So when you go on your honeymoon, you've talked about you getting married plenty of times on Mike's show. When you go on your honeymoon, you guys can binge on the plane. And watch some PD.
I can promise you, because I'm this person on the plane. I can promise you, I will be asleep before they tell us we can take out our electronic devices. I'm the person that, I wake up on the plane and, like, my arm has fallen asleep from leaning on it.
Yeah.
I don't understand why, but I sleep on planes every single time I'm on a plane.
Yeah, I don't sleep much, but I get it.
I wake up for the free drink and, you know, the little bag of, like, pretzels or whatever we get.
Yeah, that's
what. And then I do that, and then I'm right back to sleep.
Yeah, my flight Saturday, it was so early, I was tired, so I kind of dozed in and out, you know, off and on.
It's a long flight too.
Yeah, 4 and some change. I left at like 6:30 in the morning. Yeah, yeah.
Did you come back Sunday or
last night?
Early this morning.
Last night. Yeah, late last night. So yeah, there you go. Good times. Wish we would have won. And Mike and Del Rand said the we thing. Look, man, he said, but he gets it. Like many people get it. It's, yeah, I mean, like Tyler doesn't like the we, but I get it.
Yeah. I understand you.
I get it. You get it now.
You got family.
Yeah, this is the we. It's not Boston.
You don't we the Sixers. You don't we the Phillies or Eagles or Flyers.
Not. No, never heard me say we for them. I want them to win, but
get happy. We're excited when they win.
And when I got into this.
I get your point.
You know, the whole rooting thing
is family, man.
Not allowed. And that one is family. So it is we lost, and I was disappointed. It's a nice building, though, the Phoenix Suns Arena. It's a new name. They just named it last week. It changed that fast. Success would do that.
Were they, was Phoenix the one that was the Talking Stick?
Talking Stick Arena before. Then it became Phoenix Suns Arena. And Talking Stick was just a couple of years ago.
Right.
Then it became Phoenix Suns Arena. And just last week, they have a new name already.
Sponsorship. There you go.
Yeah. Now, look, they do it all the time. Again, we just talked about the name changing twice. And I'm sure it did before. But when you're in the NBA Finals, you can strike a deal pretty easily.
Yeah. You can probably get a much better deal than the first one you got.
No question. No question about it. Jasper on Twitter, Jay Gridlock, says, I'm a huge fan of Chicago Med, Fire, and PD. Can't miss TV on Thursday. Med is my favorite. Okay, PD is mine.
All right, Thursday
night.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Wow. So that's 8, 9, and 10, I'm guessing.
Do they run back to back to back?
I'm guessing, and you know they're hour-long programs. I'm guessing.
I have, honestly, because we watch so many sporting events, and now that, you know, you and I are here most nights, the amount of, like, network television that I watch is so minimal.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not watching a sporting event, I'm usually on a streaming service of some kind. You know, either watching a movie.
And you play the video game.
And I do play a lot of video games in my downtime. So I think that at this point, I'm not necessarily sure I watch any show routinely on network TV.
I do not. The only one I try was around the Super Bowl when I told you I was watching The Equalizer.
Yes, with Queen Latifah.
With Queen Latifah. And a couple of weeks in consecutive weeks, they didn't air reruns for whatever programming that was going on. I think it might have been the NCAA tournament and all that stuff, being the CBS.
Sure.
And all that. So once I missed a few and I would go back on demand, I haven't seen it since like the fifth episode, so I'm way behind. It's, the season is probably over, but I can catch up. But other than that, I don't watch anything.
Well,
to your point.
I would think that it'll eventually be on the Paramount streaming service, right? Because I think that's what CBS is paired with, is Paramount.
Paramount?
I think so.
You know, but I have on demand on...
Oh, okay. You know, you just got it on the TV. You could just pull it back.
Yes, I can just pull it up that way.
Yeah, I quite frankly, I think the streaming services, for me at this point, there's certain stuff, right? Like, I watch all the Marvel things, right? And I watch them, like, the day they come out.
Yeah.
But if it's not imperative that I do that to avoid spoilers, I'll just wait till the season comes out.
For the TV shows or the movies?
The TV shows.
TV shows.
And then so just, like, bang them all out in one weekend.
What's a good one right now that's the TV show of the Marvel entertainment?
Well, the one that was just the one that just finished was Loki.
Right. The Marvel series.
Yeah, so far they've put out three. It's Loki just finished, was Falcon and Winter Soldier prior to that, and then it was WandaVision was the first one.
Your favorite? Which one?
Because
you know that's not my...
I liked WandaVision. I thought it was very, like, psychologically kind of different.
You know why I can't watch that. The dude just looks creepy to me.
Vision.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
It's just weird. She's normal. He's got a red face. I'm not watching it. It's not because he's shy and he's shy around him and he's got, you know, his face turns red. He's red.
Fair enough.
You know, it's not Spider-Man. He's just a red dude. All right. I'm out. Go ahead.
But I would say for me that was the best one. The Loki, I thought, I mean, quite frankly, the thing is with the series, it's opening up everything moving forward. And I'm not going to give it away, but it's like talking about timelines and things like that. And that's what's going to open up the next wave of movies and shows. I didn't like it all that much. I was not all that impressed with it. So I would say, for me, it was WandaVision, in the order they've come out, is how much I like them. So okay. WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier, and Loki so far.
So you did like the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It was good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. My man that we get a lot of traction with here on Twitter, and we go back and forth sometimes, we disagree on things. Big Slim, OA. Always love when Big Slim checks in. Says, I'm out on Mad and Fire is entertaining. But Hank Voigt and PD is must-watch TV.
There you go. We got a lot of the Chicago fans.
Me and Slim right there. PD is number one. Now he disagrees with Jasper about the Med. Fire's entertaining. I saw Fire early on when it first started and kind of got away from it. But PD, yeah, it's fun. It's good TV. PD is good TV. I like it. Hank Voigt is crazy. He's the sergeant of the police department. Dirty, kind of. He just likes to get things done. And sometimes I'm like, man, can I work for that dude? Why is he talking to me like that? but yeah, PD is it. Well, now I'm telling you, you guys watch it a couple episodes, you might like it. But you got a lot to catch up on. And as you
I have.
You're falling asleep on the planes.
I have so much to catch. I mean, how many times have you and I talked about movies and you're like, Ty, you got to watch this movie?
Yeah. And then there are ones that you said, I'm like, yeah, I've never seen that one. Yeah.
I wish we had like a good chunk of time. You and I could get together and all right, I'll bring five movies, you bring five movies.
Right.
And we'll get together and I'll show you the five that you've not seen, you show me five that I've not seen, and we'll just kind of have some fun going back and forth. But unfortunately, we don't have, you know, 30 hours to kill.
No. Sometimes I do want to get that time and just sit down. You know what? I'm off today. I'm watching TV. I'm chilling. I'm not doing anything. But yeah, Hank Voigt and PD, Slim knows. He's got this real raspy voice. He stands there. I don't know what he's doing with his mouth half the time. It's like, he's, you know, it's like, yo, dude, what's going on with this guy, man? And he's just, I don't know. But the characters are good. I like most of the people on the show. And I watch that, but I watch it when they have if it's popping up somewhere on one of these Ion television or I don't know, USA or whatever it might be on, and maybe catch it on demand, because I do have Paramount. No, Peacock, I'm sorry. I don't have Paramount. I have Peacock. and it's on there. So one day I was like, let me check out a couple of episodes. I haven't seen this in a long time. Slim is right, though. Big Slim. Must watch TV. I enjoy it. I don't watch it on Thursdays. We're in here when it's on. So I have to catch up to it later on. 610-632-0975. We got to get back to the Flyers, and we will, about the people left off for the expansion. Here's a few. The Lock Party says, how about the Philadelphia Whiz Wits? No. We're not naming them after food. No. No pretzels, no cheesesteaks, no water ice. No, they're not food. They're basketball players. Sandy Koufax checks back in. So I can't really find a connection with fire in Philadelphia. I'm trying, though. Philadelphia Fire with P-H-I-R-E. Said, I don't want to play on the PHI airport code. I'm reaching. All right, I got you. I got you. 610-632. That's a good one, though. Philly fan for life. Few name suggestions. Two with patriotic theme. One that pays respect to Philadelphia boxing heritage. Okay. The Bells, as we've been getting. The Spirits, which was the team that Julius Erving played for, the Virginia. No, that's the Squires played for. The Spirits. And then the Philadelphia Fighters, nicknamed the Lady Fighters. And he would definitely support the basketball team. So there's that. Philadelphia Fan for Life follows up with the Flyers. Great move to get Ellis, but I still want a sniper or legit goal scorer.
Well, of course you do.
Every time you want one. Every time.
They're not done. I still think that there's some serious... there's some something serious to this Vladimir Tarasenko thing.
See, when I hear stuff like that, and typically they kind of go that way in hockey, and these names that get thrown out there, these big names, and even attached to Philadelphia. But then you're like, oh, that's not going to happen. It's cool, though. But then it just happens, and they do get traded.
Yeah, it's whether it's through St. Louis or it ends up being through the Kraken, you know, after the expansion draft, I think there's something serious to that rumor.
Okay. That would be great. It'd
be huge.
That would be great. We've done enough games where, as a casual fan, where I know his name, I know exactly who that is.
And you remember how that run that the Blues made in, was it 2-3 years ago now?
Yeah, man.
That was just, I mean, it was magical.
Yeah. No love for Black Widow? Part of the MU.
Haven't seen it yet.
And the new movie looked like it's off the chain. That's Jasper.
Haven't seen it yet. I can't comment.
And then again, we were talking about mostly the TV programs,
right.
not the movies, but...
Yeah, so I've not seen it yet.
What is Pat's take on it? Have you watched the...
No,
the
I told... I texted him.
Recaps?
So I texted him one day. I said, hey, listen, I see your recap is up. I will give it the thumbs up on YouTube, but I will not watch it until I see the movie.
Okay.
Because he doesn't spoil anything, but I don't want to, I just want to go in with a totally unaltered thought process of the movie.
I'm a big Scarlett Jo fan, so have fun. That's fantastic.
Yeah, so
she fits that role too.
I've heard people that have said it's awesome. People that have said it's horrible.
And that's why you have
and
to
And I got to make my own decision.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Bunch of names for the ladies, for the women, for the WNBA Philadelphia team, if it were to happen, with the interest potentially out there from the WNBA commissioner, Kathy Engelbert. That would be great. We'll give you the names when we get back again. 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens. That's Tyler Zuli. We've been talking a lot about the Phillies. And a story that was out there, as I just mentioned, about the WNBA team and maybe WNBA expansion, potentially expanding the league a little bit, and Philadelphia being mentioned as a potential destination. That would be great. We've been waiting 25 years for it. Should have been one of the first teams, but hey, it didn't happen. Never too late. Never too late. We were asking if you would support the team, because Tyler and I would. And everyone that we've had on the phone so far and even on social media has said yes, they would, in fact, support the WNBA team, would you, if it were to happen? And we've been just getting a bunch of names thrown at us as well. 610-632-0975. We'll get to the list of the Phillies the Flyers that were not protected for the list for the new Seattle Kraken team, the expansion squad. We'll tell you who they were, what it means for the Flyers going forward. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens, Tyler Zuli, producing the show, 945 The Leftovers, here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. 97.5. The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
902-97.5, The Fanatic on the Friday night. Pardon me, Monday night. How about Friday? Would be great. We got there that fast. On a Monday night, 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you. Oh, man. Yes, I'm not running away from the NBA Finals. I know what's going on. I get it. I know. Down 3-2. They won three in a row. Not happy about it. But, hey, we got one more game in us for Game 6 and then one more for Game 7. We got to take it one game at a time. One game at a time. Drew Holiday was tremendous in Game 5. You know I love Drew. How about this? Let's flash back real fast. Flashback to the offseason. The James Harden conversation was already ongoing. Tyler and I were here one night. The question was, would you keep Ben Simmons, acquire Drew Holiday to go along with Simmons and Embiid? You're going to have to give up one of those young players, if not two of them, and first round picks like Milwaukee did. That's your three. Tobias Harris would still be a part of your squad, I guess, in that role. And you would be good to go. Versus having Harden and Embiid. There's nothing wrong with Harden and Embiid. It's fantastic. And you have Tobias Harris with them. Other stuff. The team would have been built. But I was a big proponent of, before everything actually materialized, Harden going to Brooklyn and the real conversation of Harden to Philadelphia, I said I would have preferred to have Holiday, Simmons, and Embiid. I think Harris would have still been in the mix, but my point is, that's a darn good team. Unfortunately, he's on the verge of his first NBA championship, and I don't want that to happen. Sorry, Drew. Love you. Great guy. Every time I see him, still shows respect. Much love, man, but no. No, no, no. No. We got two more in us. Starting with Game 6 tomorrow night. Two more. One game at a time. Remember when we did that? The poll, though, was Drew Holiday, right? Don't even try to look back because that was...
Yeah, I mean, I would have to try to find it. I don't remember off the top of my head. I know I was in the camp of James Harden.
And I was opposite.
And you were opposite.
Give me Drew Holiday and keep the trio together.
Kind of like when you were talking about, there's only a few number of guys that you would trade Ben Simmons for at the time. And obviously it started with Damian Lillard.
Yep.
Harden was another one for me. I would have made that move. But yeah, I will try to find it because we got about 45 minutes left.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. That's a lot. That was so long. That was at the start of the season. That was before the season started in October, in November. No, December. So it was like November, December. When was Drew Holiday traded? I'll look that up first and just tell you when it was, because Drew Holiday traded to Bucks was... let me see.
I can tell you right now because the podcast is up there.
November 24th.
November 4th, we did the show.
Oh, really?
Yes. It was 11-4-2020.
Okay.
So we have the podcast.
Yeah, November 4th.
I just don't know if we have the poll.
The poll results. Yeah, so he was traded 24th. So we did it on the 4th. Later on, he was traded in a four-team deal. The Bucks got Sam Merrill, 6th overall pick, in exchange for Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, 3 future first round picks, and 2 additional draft pick swaps. If they win, it was worth it, right? You're just trying to win. You don't know how many you're going to win. The opportunities are not always there. You're just trying to win. And then I've seen the stories where everybody's talking about Drew Holiday started the rebuild. I'll say this. I've always loved Drew Holiday. I've always talked about how much I love his game, and even going as far again as saying that I would do the the deal in the offseason and keep Simmons here with Holiday and Embiid and Harris if he didn't get traded to Houston or whatever in a four-team deal. That would have worked out for me. Would have worked out for me. All right, 610-632-0975. We'll get to the Flyers in just a second. Lance in Arizona with us, though, next here on the Fanatic. What's up, Lance? Yo, Lance.
Hey, Devon.
What's up, man?
So, a couple of things. One with the Jrue Holiday one. I thought the Jrue Holiday trade, they were going to have to give up Ben Simmons to get Jrue Holiday. And at that point, I wasn't willing to make that deal at that time. Now, if it was those four together, I think it would have been way better than what they came up with.
Right. So, my deal was, obviously, Simmons, when we did the show that night, Lance, Simmons obviously had to go in Houston's deal for Harden. That was clear. But with what they didn't have to give up from Milwaukee to complete a four-team trade, my thing was figure out how to do it, keep the three. Would you prefer to keep the three? And that was where I was going with that one at the time.
Yeah, I probably would have done that at that time because you could always trade Simmons still eventually if you wanted to make another move.
Yeah.
I like Jrue Holiday, and I thought the best that trio played was that last game of this entire playoff. If you look at Jrue Holiday, some of his numbers, like the game before,
crazy.
He had 17 points, but it took him 4 of 20 shooting to get to that. Like, defensively, he always brings it, but there's been games this playoff, he's been very inconsistent to game to game, which is why I think Phoenix can win that game in Milwaukee, because I don't know what Jrue Holiday I'm going to get. Is he going to be game 5 Jrue Holiday, or is he going to be game 4 where he shoots 20 shots and only makes 4?
He was very confident walking off that floor. I was watching him as he walked off. He did his post-game. He did a quick interview, then he came back out. But he was walking, and the Phoenix Sun fans were heckling.
Go look at his game 3. He was pretty confident after game 3.
I got you. But when he was walking off, he's looking at the fans as he's walking to the tunnel over the tarp. And he's like, I love it, because they were giving it to him, Lance. I should have called you, Lance, when I was out there, but we were so busy.
I'm an hour south of Phoenix, man. I was hoping for you guys to win, dude. I thought you guys were going to win that game, especially after the first quarter.
16, man. Up 16.
The two things that killed him in that game, their bench was awful. They were a minus 30. And when Booker was off the floor, they were a minus 16 in 7 minutes.
Lance.
And then
I'm sitting there, before you get to your second point, I'm sitting and I'm like, the second quarter, we're up 16 and you got the guys out. You need to get them back in because they're already chipping away at the 16-point lead. Get them back in, rebuild it. You got three of these guys on the floor at the same time with Paul, and I think it was Crowder who was out there, because Torrey Craig was basically like the center with Cam Johnson and Cam Payne, and I think it was Crowder. And I'm like, Monty, you got to get Mikal or Booker back in the game, or Ayton, one of the three, you got to get them back in the game.
It reminded me a lot of when the Sixers blew that giant lead to Atlanta, where you saw it happening and you're like, dude, you better do something. Because the other thing that bothered me in that game was the defense in the second and third quarter was just bad by Phoenix. Because you saw in the first quarter, it was fantastic. And then the last 6 minutes, it was fantastic again. Like, I think Phoenix kind of took their foot off the gas thinking that this was going to be over after the first quarter, because defensively, like, the 2.5 quarters, they just didn't play defense. And then the final 6 minutes in the first quarter, they were phenomenal. So, like, to me, they have to play 60 minutes or 48 minutes of defense if they're going to beat Milwaukee, because Milwaukee is always going to play defense. So if you don't do it and you're letting them go out and transition and stuff like that, you're going to lose. And again, they lost on the boards. You're a minus 28 in this series on the offensive glass.
Awful.
You have to change that.
Man, listen, let me give you some numbers before you get to your Phillies point. I was listening to a podcast and the stats and info people gave this number out. All right. When this player was on their primary defender, as you know, playing defense, of course, on this player, on whoever it was, whether Middleton, whatever, Booker, the player was 6 for 10. Paul, the Bucks player, 9 for 12. Crowder, defensive guy like Paul, 10 for 12. The opposition, whoever it was, Middleton, right? Connaughton, 10 for 12 against, with Crowder on him as the primary defender. Now, I don't want to say this because, of course, it was, you know, not biasness, but we know Mikhail's the best defender on the team on the wing. They were 4 of 14 against Mikhail. He did his job. And it wasn't until late when Monty decided to switch him on to Drew Holiday. And Drew was the one that got, was the only one scoring early. And then Chris Middleton got loose when Mikhail got off of Chris Middleton because they couldn't defend him. It was just like, oh, he can't be everywhere.
To be perfectly honest, I had this conversation with my friend right after because he's a diehard Suns fan. I was like, they missed Dario Saric. That's a game.
Big time. We were talking about it too.
His energy is contagious, and when they're up and they start having to creep back in, his energy probably would have been enough to lift them. And he gives them some size where Crowder right now is just killed.
Yep.
Because he's not big enough to play power forward against Milwaukee.
Exactly. It's like, you know, and hang on one second. It was just, you know, Lance, you just look at that and you're like, the depth really hurt them right now with no Dario. He can bang with Ayton. He can at least, you know, the six fouls as well. But he's a smart defender now at this point where he knows how to use his body, and he can't stop him. It's just about containing him, making him turn wrong ways and things like that to help defense overall. But to get to your, we're boring people with the Suns talk. Get to your Phillies point, man.
So quickly on the Phillies, like, I still don't know if they should make a trade. I think this week is huge. You've got two against the Yankees, four against the Braves. If you go 2-4, I don't think you're good enough to make a trade. But if you're going to do it, I think going after a starting pitcher, because I think the market on relievers, I'm not sure you're going to want to pay the price that it is. But I look to Colorado because they're bad. Marquez has been phenomenal for like 2.5 months now. He gives you another almost ace with how he's pitching over the last 2 months to go with Wheeler. And then you hope Nolan turns around. You have Eflin, and then Velasquez is what Velasquez is. I think it makes you more dominant and not have to use your bullpen as much because you have that type of arm. That's the guy I would go after. I try to make a minor move for the bullpen because I think to get Kimbrel, you're going to have to overpay, and you don't have the prospects to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you do, and you don't have enough prospect pool to give that up to like continue on next year to try to build this team up if you wanted to make a trade. I don't go after Chris Bryant. I like Chris Bryant, but he's going to test free agency. He's not going to give you a contract extension when he makes that trade. So you're,
the relationship with Harper is enough to change that?
I don't, because okay. Isn't he a Scott Boras client? I'm almost positive he's Scott Boras.
Yeah, but so but again, you know, yeah, but you know, Boras and the Harper thing that worked out pretty well, and maybe that stuff. I don't know, Lance. And listen, man.
Let's not forget the Harper thing worked out, but it made us go all the way until March, and it almost didn't work out. There was times where we thought he was going to like San Diego or San Francisco. So,
you're right. You're absolutely right. You're right. Listen, man, always good to catch up, man. Hopefully we talk after game six and we're talking about a win. The caller that we just put on hold, hang tight. Tyler, get to you in 1 second. He's just doing some work right there, and he'll get right to you. 610-632-0975 as we talk about the Phillies and what they need to do. And look, Lance makes a great point. It is really about, as they continue to just win and stay within striking distance, if not take over the lead against the New York Mets here in this National League East, being back two currently in the division and keeping Atlanta off of you. That's something that, you know, that we look at right now and we just typically talk about, all right, well, they're not going to win it, so they're not going to do it. But if they do continue to be at this pace and they are in that striking distance, Lance, that we've been talking about, then I think you do. And you're in the right direction for me, where we agree that for me and you, starting pitching is the way to go. How do they get it done? I don't know. And we can give out names. We can talk about all kinds of things. At the end of the day, that is what Dombrowski has to do to find that particular player. And then with Middleton, later on at some point, I mean, I don't think it's going to be this trade deadline. Going to have to figure out if he's going to go over the luxury tax. It's just the bottom line. It is what it is. 610-632-0975. And the Cole Hamels thing, we'll see what happens. I was kind of out of the loop on that over the weekend and seeing what Cole Hamels did, if the showing was good enough to garner enough interest. Yeah. I didn't hear about it, but we'll get there. I'll see exactly I'll follow up, and you know, Tyler will tell us once he's finished doing what he's doing. Tyler will tell us how things went with Cole Hamels over the weekend. 610-632-0975. Some more. By the way, the NBA draft, as we talked about, is on the 29th, so now 10 days away. Next Thursday, not this week, next Thursday. And they have, with the draft being at Barclays, they're now opening up the NBA, the green room again. So they're getting a lot of people who are being invited to the green room in Barclays, in Brooklyn. And now Oregon guard Chris Duarte, a projected top 20 pick, according to Shams Charania, has received an invite to the green room. Yes. Yes. Ty, I didn't hear before we get to, you know, our callers.
Yes.
Cole Hamels.
Yeah.
How did the workout, the session go?
So from what I've heard, he threw 60 pitches.
60.
Sat right around the 88 range for the most part. Topped out at like 90, 91. They said he's about a month.
Not bad. 90,
yeah, they 91. Said he's about a month away from being ready. Major league ready. I don't know about you, but I'd take the chance.
I told you, I'm in.
I'd take the chance. It's only going to cost you money.
Only going to cost you money.
And at a prorated deal for the remainder of the season.
You got less than 80 games.
You got to try it.
You got to try it. And this, again, this will determine other things with how you go about with the trade deadline. That's it. 610-632-0975.
Because if he stinks, you cut him.
Bottom line.
That's all it is.
And people are like,
you're paying him either way.
I want to remember him as Cole Hamels and all. He's still Cole Hamels.
I don't care about
that. We're not asking him to come in here to be Cole Hamels of what he was back then. World Series MVP. We're not asking for that.
Nope.
We're asking to come in, be that guy in the back end, do your job.
I'm asking for a fifth starter. That's all I need.
Can you go six? Can you go six? Can you maybe go seven? Paint those. Hey, you still got that? Buckle them at the knees. You still do that? But then when it works. Heavy. Well, you know what? Since we're talking Phil, let's go to Heavy Huntington Valley here next on the line here tonight. What's up, Hev?
What's up, bro, man?
What's going on?
Nah, man, I'm chilling, man. Had a long day, brother.
Oh, man. Well, I hope he winds down and it's a really good night for you.
Yeah, man. I mean, it wasn't a bad day. It was a long day. I went all the way out. Drove like an hour out to this place to play golf. And then, so man, like, I'm realistically, I'd like to see him sell. But.
Really?
I mean, Devon, do you really think this team, like, who are they going to get that's automatically going to make this team into some kind of World Series contender?
A World Series contender? I don't know. I really don't know.
And at the same time, who are they going to give away? You know? And the other thing is, I think they've just like every other town in this, every other team in this town, they've pretty much painted themselves into a corner. They do not have the choice to sell. Because what are they going to do if they try to sell? And Bryce Harper comes into the office and says, you know, WTF, like, what's going on?
Well, you know, Hev, that he keeps talking about these things, right? Where, first of all, it was JT Realmuto and the way that he had to go about that. And he went his way. So, you know, he'll voice it for sure.
Like, I don't think they really have any other choice but to continue on with this, you know, slowly burning dumpster fire of a team that's just never going to end up going anywhere. And now we're talking about getting Cole Hamels. We should have got him back in 2018.
I don't disagree.
That maybe that would have helped us win the division. But now we're talking, you know, we're talking about it now. It just, nothing makes sense with these guys. I would like to see him start over.
Start over.
Because I just don't.
It's been so bad as of late. You want to do it again?
What are they going to do, though? Do you really think
that's why you bring Dombrowski in? I don't know. I don't have that answer, Hev.
You bring a guy who's never won anything, and what he has won, he that was like
what, over 15 years ago.
So he won something.
Yeah, I mean, long time ago.
That's okay. Sometimes you got to go to another place and figure it out, Hev. Thanks for the call, man. We got to get ready to get to a break. Sometimes it just works out that way. Works out that way. Cole Hamels, like you said, Tyler's easy money. Then you go out there and you acquire some other stuff. But they have better planes than the one we're going to tell you about when we get back on the other side. You land at the airport. Not on the thing that we're going to talk about when we get back.
You mean where they landed was not where they were supposed to land?
No, there was a long strip. But it still wasn't supposed to be there.
Kind of looks like a runway.
It does. But you should know better. We'll talk about it when we get back. Final segment, 9:45, The Leftovers. Devon Givens right here, 97.5, The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
Here we go, final segment, 97.5 The Fanatic. Von Givens with you till 10. A friend of mine from the Washington Post, Michael Lee, asked a great question on his Twitter account. It's a Twitter poll here. And Mike asks, with all these COVID cases on the rise and Japan on lockdown, what do you think should happen with the Tokyo 2021 Olympics? Cancel them? Can't risk it? Play on. Can't stop now. I think you just play on. I think you just play on. I mean, how many times are you going to pause it? How many times are you going to do this again? I think you have to play.
I don't think they can't not at this point. They're there, and I know that the cases are substantially on the rise in Tokyo, but they're looking at this as a monetary thing. They've already monetarily lost their money. Are they going to be willing to do it again? I'm not so sure they care about player safety or athlete safety.
It's about the money. You know it's about the money at some point. So now Zach LaVine is in health and safety protocol for Team USA's basketball squad. But once he clears everything, he's able to travel to Japan thereafter. So, they're in a tough spot. They're in a tough spot. Oh, man. 610-632-0975. I don't know. I even had somebody I talked to, I trust in the league. He was like, I don't know if they can win. I don't know if they can win. So
it's a weird year in terms of like the lead up was strange, the losses in the exhibition games were strange. Obviously nothing they can do about, well, there is something they can do about the COVID cases, but that's I guess their call. But it's certainly going to be a different Olympics.
It certainly is. All right, we got a different team in Philadelphia. Could be a lot more different, right? Could be significantly different after this upcoming draft by the Seattle Kraken, where they have an expansion draft and an opportunity to, of course, put together a very good team and see if they can duplicate what happened with the Las Vegas Golden Knights. In order to do so, you have to put some people out there and available, and the Flyers are just like everyone else. Here is the list. A couple of surprises, I guess. Yes, one surprise, really. Robert Haig, not surprised. Justin Braun, not surprised. Shane Gostisbehere, again, not surprised. Here are the two big names. Even though Shane Gostisbehere, the production doesn't live up to how big the name is here locally because of his rookie season, James Van Riemsdyk and Jacob Voracek. Right? And as I'm reading, I was actually reading my buddy Eric Reese, his Philly Sports Network story earlier, because I always, you know, you support everybody, especially when he's a friend, read the stuff. Van Riemsdyk may offer the Seattle Kraken the highest value from the Flyers exposed list. A little surprised there that Van Riemsdyk would be there. $8.2 million for Jake Voracek. And the performance hasn't been that great. I can see why, even though I said I was surprised to see it and not doing the dealings like I do with the Sixers or even the Eagles to understand all, not understand it, but to be, it's like, all right, yeah, they probably put Jake on there. I just didn't expect that to come. And if I ask you, Tyler Zuli, who would you guess they would take?
Well,
to Kraken, the draft is Wednesday, 8 p.m., and I'm curious.
Yeah, it's a good question.
You got to take one player from each team.
I think that it depends on...
By the way, Vegas is exempt. They don't have to.
Right, it makes sense. They are still a new team.
Even though they had success, they're still new.
Well, right. Yeah. It really comes down to if there is, in fact, going to be a Tarasenko trade to the Flyers, because there is rumors that have, not even rumors, but it's starting to gain some steam now, that there's a chance that the Kraken may select Tarasenko from the Blues. They would then select Robert Hague from the Flyers, and then the Flyers would trade some sort of draft compensation and Jake Voracek
To
the Kraken
Seattle.
For Vladimir Tarasenko.
Interesting strategy there.
So if that's the case, then it's could be Hague. I think that if that trade doesn't happen, as much as we in Philadelphia would like it to be Jake Voracek to help contractually and help the Flyers salary cap situation, I think it's going to be Shane Gostisbehere.
I do too. And looking at a new city for him, just another opportunity. And how much pressure? Not much pressure. Just go out there, do your thing, see what happens. The Kraken must choose one player from each of the 30 participating teams, as we talked about, no Vegas Golden Knight, including at least 14 forwards, 9 defensemen, and 3 goalies. Additionally, at least 20 of their selections must already be under contract, as I'm looking at NHL.com, for next season, with an aggregate value that is between 60 to 100% of the NHL salary cap, which is $81.5 million. So,
right, so that's the key. They do have to hit a salary floor. So obviously, theoretically, if you could, you're going to play this like chess game of where you're taking the most talent for the least money. But you do have to hit that $60 million floor, which is why players like Vladimir Tarasenko and players like Jake Voracek can be valuable to these teams because they've got to get to that 60%.
So there was basically between 3 of the staff writers on NHL.com, they have come up with their own mock expansion draft using all the rules, as it says here. Their selections came up to approximately $71 million. Here's who they have taken. I'll just give you a couple of them, including the Flyers. 4 goaltenders. 4 goalies. One of them being Braden Holtby. I know that guy from Vancouver. 4 goalies. Braden Holtby, one of the names.
How about this?
Yeah.
Might even be a bigger one.
Whoa.
Actually, is a bigger one. The Canadiens left Carey Price unprotected.
Yeah, see, and not on here as far as the selection. They did not take him. Did not take him.
It wouldn't surprise me if they don't. That is a hefty contract.
Hefty contract. Hefty contract. 16 forwards. 16 forwards. And as I scour here, I do not see the Philadelphia Flyers. No, I don't. Of the 16 forwards. Okay. We move on. The defenseman, 10. They chose a Flyer. Justin Braun is the selection here to the Kraken.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
They chose Braun. And that's where Braun, 100 games, and Dillon, 75, would add NHL playoff experience to Seattle's second and third pairs. Dillon is Brendan Dillon from the Washington Capitals. So that's the draft for them. Justin Braun, Seattle, 8 o'clock Wednesday. That should be fun. I like the expansion drafts. I do. I like to see that. You gotta steal from the other teams. It's legal. the legal stealing.
Not legal tampering.
Not legal tampering. Legal stealing. Put the guys up. Let's go. Notable defenseman available with years remaining on the contract. PK Subban. Oh, he's on the list. Shea Weber, 5 years left on his deal. Shane Gostisbehere, 2 years left on his contract. So, interesting. I can't wait to see how this all plays out. And 4,000 fans expected for the NHL event featuring city's sports celebrities in Seattle on Wednesday. Let's go to George in Jersey before we get to the leftovers with Tyler Zuli. What's up, George? Yo, George. G, one more time. All right. We appreciate it. I tried. And, you know, try to get you in there. But I'm interested in the expansion draft. And was there a name on there, not on there, that you thought would be exposed?
From the Flyers, you mean?
Yes.
Well, yes, because I thought that when they made the trade for Ryan Ellis and cleared up, you know, two spots for one, obviously Ellis would be protected.
Sure.
I thought that James Van Riemsdyk would end up getting a protection because of the extra forward spot that they had with the vacancy of Nolan Patrick. Again, I don't have any inside information. I don't know which order their list went in. My assumption is instead of JVR, it was Nick Abe-Kubel was the one that got the protection. A little bit younger, a lot bit cheaper. But I was shocked that after they made the trade, JVR was protected. Going into this, I thought that he would not be because of the money. But after the trade got made, it made it a little bit murkier.
Gotcha. Yeah, no. So look, man, that's gonna be fun. I just enjoy that stuff. I like drafts in general. We will get one at the end of the month with the NBA draft, which is fantastic. And so it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun to see how this whole thing comes together. I can't wait to see it all play out. I cannot. It's gonna be a blast. It really is.
And then right after that, you've got the actual draft. Not too far behind. You see what happens with the Flyers at 13.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah. And by the way, what happened? How do you get there? Well, you get there by plane when you go to the Seattle draft. If you're not in Seattle and the 4,000 fans, you got to fly out there. So if Justin Braun is, in fact, going, you got to get on the plane. Well, what you don't do is land on a bridge in Ocean City, New Jersey.
Not good.
So plane had to land abruptly. And they decided to park it on the bridge. This is why, see, you know I don't like bridges, except for Mikhail and the rest of my family. I do not like bridges.
I am in total agreement with you. Bridges freak me out, especially the ones that have the, like the gradient roadways, because they're you know, obviously they're bridges, right? They're meant to open up. That gradient roadway thing weirds me out.
Can't do it. Cannot do it. Well, I have to because you have to drive on them. But if I
avoid them at all costs.
If I had my choice, man, no way, no how, no, 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 no. Well, since I was a little out of the loop over the weekend, I caught up on some things that I needed to catch up on. But I know that there were a lot of things that I missed. And that's why we have such a segment at 9:45 weeknights here on the Fanatic with Tyler Zuli called The Leftovers.
Yeah, why don't we start with that expansion draft? Because you alluded to this but didn't give a whole lot of detail, so okay. Why don't we do it? With the Kraken set to have the expansion draft, the city has called upon its most famous athletes to not just draw up some excitement, but also announce some of the selections and players.
Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn Lynch will, in fact, be in attendance, along with Sue Bird, Seattle Sounders forward Jordan Morris, Bobby Wagner, along with Kyle Lewis of the Mariners, and former Seattle Supersonic stars Gary Payton and Sean Kemp, well as Hall of Fame coach Lenny Wilkins. Steve Meyer, the NHL Chiefs content officer and the executive producer of the draft, said all of these names are so into the Kraken, this was the easiest thing to book. So it seems like Seattle as a whole is getting into the Kraken. They're really getting excited for this expansion draft coming up.
Nah, it is, man, and they should be excited. That's pretty cool. Anytime you get a new squad, and we already talked about the Las Vegas potentially having an NBA team. They're building this enormous facility, this casino, hotel, and arena all in one with a roof on the basketball arena. Pretty dope when these types of things happen. So, I, again, casual hockey fan, but stuff like, I like this stuff. I like this stuff, so I can't wait to see what happens. And I can't wait to see what Marshawn Lynch has to say when he announces a pick. He's going to get a name wrong. You got to get a name
almost
wrong.
Almost assuredly.
Got to get a name wrong. I would get the name wrong. I was looking at some of these names with this mock draft, and I said, I'm not saying it because I know I'm going to pronounce it the wrong way. Marshawn Lynch is my guy. Love it.
All right, so
no Russell Wilson, just Marshawn Lynch.
No Russell Wilson. Nope, yeah. No Russell Wilson. He's just Marshawn Lynch from the Seahawks representation. But okay. Basically, every team in Seattle is, in fact, not basically every team in Seattle is being represented for this expansion draft. They're all kind of getting in on the Kraken. I don't know. They're going to come up with a slogan like okay. The Kraken Crew or something like that.
Yeah.
All right. How about we go to the NCAA for our next two stories? An ultimate awful human being, Mark Emmert, continues to be ultimate awful human being as he made $2.9 million for the fiscal year of 2019-2020, a time period where pandemic-related closures caused the organization's revenue to drop by more than 50%. The NCAA brought in $520 million, not too bad for a, quote, nonprofit organization, but it's down by more than $1 billion in revenue from the previous fiscal year. Emmert and other top officials in the NCAA reported a slight increase in their pay. He is one of 10 NCAA employees who made more than $500,000 in 2019-2020. So, yeah, I don't know if you could tell by my intro, I hate Mark Emmert.
Pretty much. I can tell by that you hate Mark Emmert. Look, you're not alone in that. And he has been... Yeah, he's just been one of those dudes, man, where he can't help himself by making himself look even just badly out there with how he does things. And that's why I hope these athletes clean up. Clean up!
Well, and that's the thing, too, right? Part of this story, they were talking about, you know, money spent and money lost by the NCAA. The association paid more than $68 million for legal counsel during the year, mostly because of the NIL standing.
Okay. All right.
All right, let's stay in the NCAA for this next one. We'll go to the SEC specifically, as the SEC kicked off their season on Monday with Commissioner Greg Sankey announcing that currently six of the conference 14 football teams have reached the 80% mark for vaccination. Sankey said, quote, that number needs to grow and grow rapidly. He followed up by saying games will not be postponed this year, and basically said the message to schools was, quote, you're expected to play as scheduled. That means that you need a healthy team to compete, and if for some reason you do not have a COVID-healthy team in the 2021 season, they will be disposing of games, meaning that they will be forfeited and not made up.
This is going to be tough for a lot of people. It really is. With what's going to happen, look at Aaron Nola still when he's done his press conferences after he's now eligible to come back. Talking about, I don't know when I'm going to get it. We already know what happened here. The games that they missed now. Luckily, they didn't suffer from it. But this is going to be something that it continues to follow not only professional athletes, but collegiately as well. And this isn't going anywhere, by the way. The coronavirus, it's going to be around. So It's tough for us to even talk about something like that, to tell anybody what to do, but so many people have been okay by getting it. I just want everybody to be safe.
One final story here. We'll go to the NFL. The Steelers are signing longtime, now former, but longtime LA/San Diego Charger Melvin Ingram. Ingram will sign a one-year deal to play in Pittsburgh. He'll compete for the spot opposite of TJ Watt, that is right now currently occupied by second-year linebacker Alex Highsmith. But the after Bud Dupree left in free agency, the depth is very, very thin at that position. Just Cassius Marsh and sixth-round rookie Quincy Roche are set to be the primary backups. Ingram, of course, played nine seasons in with the Chargers, 49 sacks, which is good for fourth in franchise history.
Yeah, no doubt. Whatever happens with Pittsburgh, they always find a way to get a linebacker to play successfully. And normally it's their own. They draft them and it works out their way. The player development is just fantastic.
And that's why I'm surprised they're making this move, if it's not anything further than depth, because Alex Highsmith in his second year out of Charlotte had a really good rookie season and they seem to want to rely on him pretty heavily.
They must see something there where they look at this opportunity and feel like it'll work out for them. So not mad at it. Not mad at it because of the success that they've had with that position over the years.
Well, and this team has done a really good job of making selections in free agency over the years. Anything they do when it comes to transactions, you almost have to trust them.
Yep, absolutely.
Those are our leftovers for Monday night.
Those are our leftovers brought to you by Tyler Zuli. That's what they're brought to you by. Sponsored by Tyler Zuli.
Tyler Zuli Incorporated.
Incorporated, absolutely. Real fast, I was looking at Chad Ford. We got through the whole show and we didn't say it, but he put a five proposed trades, and one of them was a Simmons trade. He said Lillard to the Sixers, Simmons to the Warriors, and a bunch of prospects going to the Blazers. Sixers and Warriors both eyeing an NBA championship year. Could Lillard and Simmons put them over the top? Good question. I don't know. Tyler, great job. We'll talk to everybody tomorrow starting at 6 o'clock right here in the Fanatic. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.